Call the order. This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times by posting it in the borough hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements, and by filing with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2023. This agenda is complete to the extent known, and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Colasarda?
Here.
Mr. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Cusick?
Present.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Ms. Von Leitner? Mr. Murphy?
Here.
Mayor Gluckstein?
Here. Please stand for a silent prayer. And please, if you can, keep the Shrub and Sweeney family in your prayers and thoughts this evening.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So now I have three different proclamations. So, I always do that. I go faster than my. Okay, so I need approval of previous meeting minutes from April 13th, regular meeting and executive session.
All approve.
I need a second.
Crowley seconds.
And roll call.
Mr. Colasarda?
Abstain.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Abstain.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Minutes have passed.
Okay. And now the proclamations. Proclamation to declare April 2023 to be National Arab American Heritage Month. Do you have Ms. Von Leitner here? Okay. Whereas for over a century, Arab Americans have been making valuable contributions to virtually every aspect of American society, and science, medicine, law, business, education, technology, government, military service, culture, and whereas Victor George Ataye, who served as the 32nd governor of Oregon from 1979 to 1987, was the first Arab American elected as governor of a state. And whereas since migrating to America, men and women of Arab descent have shared their rich culture and traditions with neighbors and friends, while also setting examples of model citizens and public servants. And whereas Arab Americans have also enriched our society by sharing an entrepreneurial American spirit that makes our nation free and prosperous. And whereas the history of Arab Americans in the United States remains neglected and individuals are harmed by misconceptions, bigotry, and anti-Arab hate in forms of crimes and speech. And whereas the Arab American issues such as civil rights abuses, harmful stereotyping, and bullying must be combated in the forms of education and awareness. And whereas Arab Americans join all Americans in the desire to see a peaceful and diverse society where every individual is treated equally and feels safe. And whereas the contributions and heritage of the Arab Americans have helped us build a better state and nation. Now, therefore, I, Mayor Loretta Gluckstein, announce the borough of Atlantic Highlands celebrate the contributions of Arab Americans have made to society and hereby declare April 2023 to be National Arab Heritage Month in the borough of Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey.
Thank you.
Yes. And now, this is truly important. The National Volunteer Month is April 2023. Whereas Atlantic Highlands is well known for its spectacular volunteer spirit, a large measure of borough strength beauty, and unique character is derived from the outstanding contributions made by the residents who volunteer in every facet of everyday life and play a vital role in many organizations and groups. And whereas residents who volunteer their time provide assistance which cannot be measured in terms of dollars, volunteers provide a spirit of helping that multiplies in value when each resident reaches out to assist another. And whereas volunteers throughout the borough of Atlantic Highlands donate their time to a wide variety of arts and recreation programs and environmental groups such as the Green Team and provide vital emergency services through the First Aid Squad, the Fire Department, the Fire Police, and the Police Explorers programs. And whereas residents also donate their time in helping the Borough of Atlantic Highlands through their services on boards, committees, and commissions. And whereas the mayor and council extend the deepest gratitude to the fine residents who generously donate their time to the community. Now, therefore, I, Mayor Loretta Gluckstein, and the Borough Council do hereby proclaim April 2023 as National Volunteer Month in the Borough of Atlantic Highlands. We urge all residents to recognize and support and commend these special volunteers. I just say thank you to all of you. Thank you so much. So, thank you.
And since I am the liaison for the Shade Tree Commission, I will be doing a proclamation regarding Arbor Day, which is April 28th, 2023. Whereas it is the sense of this governing body to support and promote the historic and significant observation of Arbor Day in Atlantic Highlands, and whereas attendant to such concern and in full accord with its longstanding traditions, this governing body is justly proud to commemorate the anniversary of Arbor Day to be celebrated as April 28th, 2023. And whereas Arbor Day was founded by journalist, politician, and tree enthusiast Julius Sterling Morton to improve his home state of Nebraska's farming prospects and grow the agricultural landscape by planting trees and raising awareness of their many benefits. And whereas the first Arbor Day was held on April 10, 1872, and brought together thousands of people who planted more than 1 million trees in pursuit of Julius Sterling Morton's goal. In addition to the reward of helping the environment, those who planted the most trees received prizes for their accomplishments. And whereas today, every state in our nation and more than 30 countries across the globe celebrate the holiday of Arbor Day, whether it is a single day event or an entire week dedicated to the planting of trees while emphasizing caring for them as a way to sustainably protect our planet's natural resources. And whereas trees are essential for life, they give us clean water to drink, air to breathe, share and food to humans, animals and plants, and provide habitats for numerous species of fauna and flora, firewood for cooking and heat, materials for buildings and places of spiritual, cultural, and recreational importance. And whereas trees also play a vital role in the infrastructure of a town. Unfortunately, many of these urban settings in general do not have enough trees necessary to provide their many benefits to its residents. And whereas trees provide canopy and shade, which helps to cool a city down. When there are not enough of them, an urban heat island is created, resulting in a dangerous rise in temperature. On average, urban heat islands are 5 to 7 degrees warmer during the day and can increase temperatures by as much as 22 degrees at night. And whereas this legislative body is now moved to commemorate the 150th anniversary of Arbor Day and to acknowledge the tireless efforts of citizens and organizations which celebrate the spirit of this holiday through their acts of service and to support them as they continue to do so. And whereas it is the sense of this governing body to recognize and pay tribute to those institutions and individuals who dedicate their purposeful time and energy to generating an increased appreciation for trees, including the acts of conserving, planting, and maintaining them, as well as educating and fostering a high degree of public awareness surrounding their benefits and all the good they do, Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the governing body of the Borough of Atlantic Highlands, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, do hereby pause to commemorate the anniversary of Arbor Day on April 28th, 2023.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And moving on, unfinished business. So, ordinance 7-2023, fingerprinting background check for the youth activities, public hearing, and possible adoption. So I need a motion and a second.
Crowley moves.
Murphy second.
Okay. And all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. For the public, if you have any questions, how many people are on Zoom right now?
11 attendees, Mayor, one hand raised.
Okay. Well, we'll start there then.
Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Yes?
Yes?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. Josh Barnstorff, 60 Bayside Drive. I think Atlantic Highlands has had a recreation program for decades without this kind of background checking. Why has it suddenly become an issue?
So various residents brought this concern and request to the borough, which the council felt it was appropriate to proceed forward. I believe it is the council's concern to protect, that this would further enhance protection to the youth that participate in the various organizations.
Well, it seems to me that this makes recreation program part of the liability of the recreation program now becomes like the borough liability, because it implies a duty to protect. And as I read the ordinance, the administrator and police chief have the right to ban like anyone without for any reason from the program. There's this whole list of things that, like, normally that eliminate you if you have to pass a background check to teach, or if you have to pass a background check to deal with children in the church as part of the settlement they had with the Justice Department. But this one has all these things and then says, as I read it, that the administrator and police chief can also say someone can't do it, and then there's an appeal procedure. So this looks to me more like a judicial operation. The council is a legislative body, and the police and the administrator are executives, and I just don't think this falls in the bailiwick of the borough council. And I think it's just like a blank check to get to put the assets of the borough at risk for conduct that they don't really control, which is the recreation program, which up to now has been a voluntary program and seems to have worked very well. And there never have seemed to be problems, and this is just going to make it even harder to get people to participate. At least that's the way I see it.
Okay.
And in my own life, I just assumed for the first 7 to 8 years of our child's life, you don't trust anyone, period. And then beyond that, you teach them how to protect themselves. So I just think this is not really an appropriate thing for the borough council to be doing, especially because it seems to be arbitrary what the criteria are.
Okay, thank you for your comments.
Are we going to find out if the administrator and police chief are able to ban anyone for any reason?
So
is my reading of the statute correct?
So in item H as in Harry, it illustrates and goes through what the right of appeal is. If the borough administrator determines that an individual is disqualified as a result of a conviction, the individual shall be notified by the clerk in writing and be immediately barred from any further participation in the borough's recreational activities. So, you know, the borough administrator does have that leeway in that particular situation. I don't want to, debate every clause. It is for the governing body to review and to make their own assessment of whether or not they want to proceed forward with this or not. They have been provided this to review, and I'll leave it up to them to decide if they want to proceed forward.
Thank you, Mr. Lionstar. Anyone else on Zoom? Okay, thank you.
Regina Keelan, 21, King James Lane. I was the head of the Recreation Department for over 7 years, and I was asking for fingerprints for over 7 years. We are a very small town, and we're only able to hire so many people for the program. And I'm sorry, I believe it's Mr. Whitehead now, that's ahead of it. And I didn't hear any objection from anybody from Recreation. I think that this is a safety matter. No, we're not saying that. Maybe it'll deter people from if they had done something, but they won't apply or something. But you can't have your eyes on every single child, no matter how you're there, or even how many people that you have helping you. It takes maybe 3 to 4 minutes. The average time to take a child from a program that they were doing, say, playing hopscotch into the bathroom, in fact, the child could be sexually assaulted. I think it's one of the best things that Atlanta County is doing. So I hope that just because if you want to tell your kid, all right, so hey, let's not fingerprint people who are dealing with kids up to 8 years old. We can just throw them to the wind. Let's concentrate. No, we need to take care of all of our children. And sometimes, and unfortunately, people don't have the guidance. Children don't have the guidance like some older children do. So unfortunately, we have to step in. Sometimes, if you're running a program of recreation or you're the council, you have to make these decisions. And I think, I don't even know what's going on. Maybe it's full moon, but I don't understand. If we want to protect our kids just a little bit more, you don't know what's going on. I didn't care if it had to do with people being at St. Agnes and that they do a program there. My daughter Kendall went through the program. Mm-hmm. And the program that you go through, the cash cert gives you, it's ridiculous because they actually tell people where you could do something to your child. So let's not go there. Let's just protect our children and let's help the recreation department that we have. And let's, you know what? I always think that one of these days where what's going to run out, let's be prepared. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Mark Fisher, 91 3rd Avenue. I've been coming to these meetings long enough that I'm not going to turn around, Mayor. I know that Regina Keelan was the person who initiated this probably 5.5 or 6 years ago. So thank you to Regina for that, and thank you for bringing this up. I'm all in favor of this. It's great, but I have some questions and clarification.
Okay.
The first paragraph, the first whereas, says the volunteers with direct and regular access to minors be required to be fingerprinted and undergo criminal history. So those programs, do they include things such as Police Fire or EMS Explorer programs where you have children under the age of 18 involved? I know it's not recreation, but if we're going to be consistent, we should be consistent across the board. That's my first question.
I do believe somewhere in here it does refer to all programs that are borough sponsored or run that involve children.
Okay, so my next question, the only reason I'm asking this one is because I think it's a private concern. The OSSET program, the sailing program, is advertised on the website, but I don't think it's actually a borough
It's not.
Commission program?
That's correct.
So what would be the rules for something like that?
That I'd have to defer to legal counsel on that. You know, our borough attorney's not here this evening.
Right.
I don't know if that would apply.
I guess it could be highly suggested to be consistent with the rest of the program.
It could definitely be highly suggested, but in terms of if it automatically applies, I'd have to consult with the borough attorney.
But I would think if it isn't, we probably shouldn't be advertising it on the borough website.
I believe it is specified that this is not affiliated with the recreation.
I'm just making a point that the borough advertises the program, which is great.
Yeah.
If they can't comply with, to be consistent with all the other programs, we may need to give that some more thought. Section A, criminal history background shall be required for any person with direct access to minors. Should that include the words in leadership roles? Because if you say anybody with access to minors, that's a lot of people.
So in the very first whereas, it stipulates all coaches, assistant coaches, board members, seasonal employees, and volunteers with direct and regular access to minors to be part. So I think early on it identifies exactly who they're referring to.
It's already in the definitions.
So maybe we should take the word person, any persons out of it, and just the persons that are supposed to be getting fingerprinted.
I would defer to counsel, but I think since our definitions are up front, that holds through the entire document.
Okay. Would that then include parent volunteers that aren't coaches, that have access to the children?
It does in most programs.
Volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the volunteers, okay. Correct.
Just a question. Just a couple more. In section B1, subsection B1, persons who have been convicted of possession of 50 grams or less of marijuana. I don't care about that, but some people may. I'm glad it was a classification in here, but I can see where that may be an issue in the past. But then the one I don't disagree with is in paragraph B4, where it says people who have been convicted with more than convictions that occurred more than 10 years are disorderly persons. I'm not really in agreement with that one. To me, that's setting a bad precedent. In section E1, you should probably include the Atlantic Commons Police Department instead of just department, so we know exactly who you're referring to. Last page, under the challenge in an appeal, the words used will be afforded a reasonable amount of time. Who decides what's reasonable? Should it be a week, a month, 10 days?
So are you referring to section H?
Section F.
Oh, F, okay.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Challenge of accuracy of report, that one?
Yes. I mean, it just says, you know, very broadly, you know, shall be afforded a reasonable amount. It just seems very vague. I'll keep going.
Yeah, I'm highlighting that so I can ask the borough attorney. Go ahead.
And then also in an appeal, it says that there will be a hearing before the borough committee. Who's that? Last time I heard a borough committee was under the recent, it's you guys. But I don't know if that's the case now. Would be the borough committee.
Yeah. So a specific committee relative to this has not been assigned. Okay. I believe according to Robert Rules of Order, then it would then default to the governing body, but I could get that clarification from the borough attorney as well.
But it will be like five people that are like a disciplinary type of a committee?
Well, if defaults to the governing body, then that would be the collective governing body here at the dais.
Okay.
But I'd have to confirm that the borough attorney.
So it would be the full
unless a committee is formed.
Unless a committee is formed by a specific date and then this is amended.
Okay. And I think that was it. I had a question about OSEP in the last one. Thank you.
You're welcome. Right, and so just so the governing body knows, if this is passed tonight and there are changes, those changes would be reflected in an amended change.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
James Krause, 77 Bayside Drive, and with all respect to my neighbor, Mr. Weinzler, I find it a little difficult to believe that the recreation program is not part of the borough, so I don't see how this would create more liability for the borough that already exists. However, if that's true, if there is a little bit more liability, I think that's a small price to pay to add protection for the borough's children.
Thank you.
Virginia Keelan, 21.
I'm
just saying, piggybacking on what Mr. Fisher said is the thing where it's advertised, we used to do the academy, was one of my ideas to do it, was to do a housing program in town and you weren't associated with the council. It was called on what is called now as a bulletin board. And anything advertised under the bulletin board is outside. We were just trying to help people with different programs in the city of town. But I can understand his concern. So what I would do, it's only a suggestion, is do not put any children's programs upon the bulletin board unless they follow suit with the fingerprinting program. Plain and simple. You don't have to go to attorneys. You don't have to go anywhere. That's it. You can't, you know, join in like we are. Try to protect our kids a little bit more. Then we just can't put you up on the bulletin board. I'm sorry. That's all I want to say.
All right. Thank you. All right. I see no more hands. So I need a motion and a second to come out of public.
Crowley moves.
Second.
Okay. Now,
Mayor, I'll just add, this is something that the Recreation Committee felt pretty strongly about. And so we want to thank Mr. Farragine and also Ms. Schaefer for getting this done and on the agenda so quickly. And in regard to what one of our neighbors said about adding to the liability of the borough, we think that this is a good proactive step that not only eases the minds of a lot of our parents who have kids in our various programs, but also lessens the load of liability for the borough.
Okay, thank you. Right. I'm getting there.
Yeah.
So I need a motion and a second.
You got that.
To come out of public.
Yes.
And now I need a motion and a second.
All in favor.
Aye. And then now I need a motion and a second.
Crowley.
Two. Yes.
Murphy second.
And roll call.
Mr. Calicerda.
I'm sorry. One moment. Do we get an opportunity to? I have some questions. Will we have an opportunity to discuss this?
No.
No? So before the roll call?
Yes.
Or after the roll call?
No.
So I want to preface any of my comments by saying I'm 100% in favor of this, but I have some questions. First of all, unless I've missed it in my reading of the ordinance and I read it about two or three times, it doesn't indicate how often everyone will be background checked. So is there a period of time at which, you know, so a background check is good for 2 to 3 years, 5 years, what is the period of time? If you are a regular coach volunteer for the recreation soccer program, for example, do I need to be background checked each year?
There's a process called a history request. So you usually, like, so my program, I know a lot about this because I run a nonprofit that serves kids. So all of my teachers are background checked through MorphoTrack, which is a statewide program. I'm sure Loretta and I both have been through that. And it is a state database. And so everyone, so I can either, if it's a teacher that's never worked for me before, has not recently worked in a school district, I will do an initial request. But if somebody came to me that worked in, say, Red Bank School District and wanted to work in my district, we'll call it, or at my program, then you can make an online, an archive request, and you'll know that they were background checked initially, and if there were any violations of what is specific to this type of background check, because I'm not saying, have you ever been arrested, or have you ever anything, it's a very specific child endangerment list of items that it's reflecting. I would say that each organization, so recreation, could decide that we would do an initial check on everybody, but some of us are teachers, so we would probably just do a criminal history check.
With that being said, I know on the Board of Ed, we had a morpho track. Sometimes it's a database. So you would have to, I know I have, had to redo my fingerprints depending on the database that you're going to be involved in. So if you're a teacher, you may have to go in and get your fingerprints done again because it's a separate database. I don't know if they've changed that yet. I highly doubt it, but they would be, once your fingerprints are in, they will be in. And like the paperwork would be updated, but everything else, your fingerprints are already in the system.
So do we know if we will be using morpho track or something like that?
You would have to.
We would,
There's no other company
so
that does it.
Now, my industry, certain networks and studios once a year have to do it automatically. With this system, does the flag only go up if there's some sort of citation or what have you, or do you do it every year?
An initial background check, and then they could set a policy on how often you would want to run the history check.
Right.
Or it's called an archive request.
Mm-hmm.
So when I bring in a new teacher that already works in the school district, it's a lesser fee and for the archive request, and it will tell me if that person has passed an initial check ever and if there's been any violations since then.
That archives teacher is still there. I did it when I was in the Board of Education in 18 and going to Camp Bernie, and they checked me up in the archives and they were able to find it. Record, so,
but I think it's good.
Yeah, but it should this, and perhaps this is a question for council, but should this ordinance specify the frequency or be more specific on it? I mean, assuming we pass this tonight, again, I'm in favor of this, but I want to be sure that we're covering ourselves and we're being as clear and
like a yearly policy for.
It sounds like a policy question to me that the council could decide whether they think they should do it annually. Mm-hmm. The programs are typically annual, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I think that's a policy decision for the council to make.
That in other words, it should be or should not?
I don't think it should.
Shouldn't
it
be? Okay.
Because you're gonna, I'll give you, this is my opinion, and we don't have to talk about this for hours, but if somebody violated one of the things that, and was convicted of one of the things, it would be public information. Mm-hmm. So if something happened to somebody who you had just brought into the recreation program, the list of these things are matters of public record.
Good. That segues kind of nicely to my next question. So if the borough passes this policy, are these records subject to OFRA?
Well, I think that's in the ordinance itself. If you look at limitation on access and use of criminal history information, it's E1, that's restricted to the members of the departments and responsible personnel.
Okay.
So it's only just, it's a limited dissemination.
That covers the OFRA.
But wouldn't go 100% because you would, right. I could make an OFRA request. Did the borough do a criminal history check on everybody that they brought into the recreation program? It wouldn't be by name, but they could say, were 100% of the people hired?
That's correct. The borough would
are we in compliance?
Would be required to answer the question if an individual was tested or not. But the specifics of their background is a whole different matter that I don't think would be provided.
That's not helpful.
Yeah. That's great. And then my last question is about...
Last counsel.
She was nodding, so I think... Yeah. So section C, number 3, subsection C, this is just an opinion of mine, but we read a proclamation tonight thanking our volunteers.
Subsection 3.
Subsection 3. I don't think we should require our volunteers to pay for their own background check. If we are doing this and is it priority enough for the borough to, to protect ourselves, protect our children, I believe the borough should pay for it.
So, I agree with that. It was one of my, really the only major problem that I had with the, even though there could be a discussion with the borough administrator to make a special event, I think we should make it as something that we're going to pick up the tab for.
Right. So there are some municipalities that do and some municipalities that don't. The second part of number three does state, unless an agreement is made otherwise by the Borough and Recreation Committee.
Okay.
So there is flexibility there.
I wasn't sure if that pertains to individuals. Like, if the individual had to reach a specific agreement.
Yeah, it could be for the individual or the program as a whole.
Okay.
So there is that flexibility.
Okay.
Great. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Colasardo.
Yes, subject to the amendments discussed tonight.
We could always go back and amend this after we pass.
Then yes.
All right, so just to be clear, we're not sure if it will be amended. But we will be consulting with the borough attorney on some of the items that were pointed out tonight by various individuals and council members.
Then
You're passing it as is. You're voting on it.
You're voting as is. It can be amended.
With the consideration of potentially going back and amending at a later date.
Okay. But I'll vote yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Von Leitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ordinance 7-2023 has passed.
Okay. Thank you. And now, we need to make a motion, a second, to go into workshop discussion.
Crowley seconds.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so we have a discussion for our 2023 budget. And I think Matt is on.
So, yeah, before we begin, Doug, Matt Holman from HFA should be online. He will be participating. If you can let him in. And we have Mr. Santiago here, who's our CMFO. And I believe there may even be another individual from HFA here. I'm not sure. But with that, as long as we let Matt Holman in, that's perfect.
Okay.
I will hand it over to them.
Okay.
Matt, I don't know if you want to start or Mr. Santiago or whomever. Would you like a coffee, a cappuccino, espresso?
So on today's agenda is the introduction of the 2023 budget. The 2023 budget is a total of $8,930,064.36. It's a reduction from 2022's budget. 2022, it's a reduction of $551,870.71 from the 2022 budget. This reduced the tax rate from 2022 to 2023 by 1%, well, 0.93%, from 0.538 in 2022 to 0.533. The net valuation, net assessed valuation of the town, of the borough, has increased by $39,476.63. And this represents a 3.74% increase from last year. Thus, the average residential home in Atlantic Highlands has increased. That increase was $23,879.79. So the average assessed home in Atlantic Highlands is $581,923.73. Is this year's average assessed home. So though the tax rates decreased, the average tax is gonna increase due to the average residential home increasing. So the tax, the municipal tax bill, strictly municipal, will increase by $97.20. And like I said, the tax rate decreased, but because the average residential home increased by 4.28%, that there wasn't, there is going to be a slight tax increase. And then the total municipal tax levy for the borough increased $158,601.68. The total levy is $5,829,388.79. I understand that I just threw a bunch of numbers at you. So I am open for questions if you guys have any.
Thank you.
Chris, can you just, and I think you kind of almost just did, but can you just very plainly specify how this budget differs from the bottom line of 2022's budget?
So, It's the bottom line numbers. It's a reduction of $551,870.71. And then the tax, the municipal tax bill will be an increase of $97.20.
Not for household.
For an average residential.
For an average residential household.
Yeah. So if your house is valued at $581,923, you'll see a $97.20 increase for the year.
Can you repeat that, please?
So for the average residential household, which is valued at $581,923, the average the annual increase will be $97.20.
And so if your value is higher,
it'll be higher than 97.
And if it's lower than $588,000, your assessed value.
$581,000, it'll be lower than $97.20.
What does that work out to monthly? $8 a month? It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. So for the public, to determine what your taxes will be, you take that tax rate that you mentioned of, what was it, 0.533? Is that what you said?
0.533, sorry, yes.
0.533, which is down from last year, and you would multiply that against your assessed value divided by 12.
Correct.
The $551,000 difference between last year's budget and this year, can you sort of give a thumbnail sketch of where those differences were?
There
those cuts were made?
There were various budget cuts. I don't have the budget in front of me right now, but I could get the information to you, yes.
Yeah, so I can tell you that it's in various places, including differences in salaries, positions. We have new employees this year, or some employees that retired. So it's a combination of many different variables. We can identify them. I can have Matt produce all of that information.
We do have the workshop discussion on the second reading, which was when we get granular on all of this.
Yeah, so Matt can come in on a very granular level and drill down on the actual specifics, but it came from a variety of different.
I mean, I figured there were nips and tucks everywhere. I was just wondering if there were any handful of slightly bigger ones.
There's some debt rolling off this year.
Right.
Matt or Chris, could you explain for council and the public why we have to do a first reading of the budget and what the next step is?
That's just state statute. You do an introduction of the budget, then you give it 28 days for the public to review. You have to advertise it. So after 28 days, then it goes to public hearing and adoption on the meeting. I believe it's in the second week of June. There'll be a public hearing and an adoption.
It's the second meeting in May.
Second meeting in May.
Thanks.
Yep.
So it's the state required process that we introduce it here. Our big discussion on it is because, as the public reviews it over the next 28 days, and we have the public comment at the workshop.
Yes,
this is just an introduction.
Yes, this is just an introduction.
And it's May 25th. For anyone who's interested, it's Thursday, May 25th, second meeting in May.
So again, just so everybody's clear, we've brought the budget down, but our taxes are going up. Those are property taxes.
Because the assessed value of the towns went up, of the borough went up.
Right. Our actual budget's actually going down. There's a lot of hard work between the finance and our borough administration.
And the department heads.
And department heads, of course.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so the tax rate was reduced by roughly 1%, but because the net value of the borough increased by 3.74% and the average residential home increased by 4.28%, there's an increase on the tax bill.
And just to answer that question from before, I do have the budget in front of me. Just to kind of contribute to that, there is a $562,000 decrease in the debt service from the prior budget for this budget, so that is a big contributor as to why the bottom line is less.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, John.
We good?
I'd like to move the budget.
Second.
I'm sorry, could you say what you just said, Lori? I didn't quite catch it.
I'm moving that we approve the first reading.
Right, so if we do that and we take a vote, we'd be skipping on the agenda, which is fine. We can move it up because we have the new business items that are next.
Yep, that's right.
And then the resolution. But we can do the resolution now if you'd like. We just have to note that that's what we're doing.
We still have the public comment.
Yeah.
All right. But knowing that the actual real workshop discussion is at...
Right.
Right. So, motion and second to come out.
Friendly moves.
Doctor, you second?
Everyone? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now we're moving on to public comment and consent and regular agenda items. I'm going to start with the Zoom. How many people on Zoom right now?
12 hands raised. I'm sorry, 12 attendees.
Oh. Bye-bye. Okay. And I'm like, what? John keeps us on our toes. All right, so, now, yes, Ms. Smith.
Yeah, Smith, 2900 Avenue, and that even scared me.
I know.
could you tell me, please, why the meeting was moved to tonight?
Sure. So, before the January 1st reorganization meeting, the elected officials are provided the opportunity to confirm their availability on the proposed schedule.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
So prior to the January 1 reorganization meeting, the elected officials are provided the opportunity to weigh in on the calendar to confirm their availability for their proposed schedule.
Right.
And at that time, one of the councilors confirmed that there was a conflict in schedule, and we changed that meeting, and everyone accepted it and passed that the calendar at the reorganization meeting, which was reflected in the borough hard copy printed calendar that everyone received, as well as online, I believe. So that's how that occurred.
And you explained that to me when I thought of an open, and I appreciate that. What was the importance of a meeting for one council person that the meeting for the entire borough was changed? Can I ask who the council member was that asked for the change?
Sure, the council person was Councilwoman Hohenleitner.
And can you tell me what the event was that you had to get a change in the meeting?
I can tell you. I'm happy to tell you. I work for a nonprofit, and my board of directors sets their calendar and when our annual gala is going to be, and they set it like a year in advance, and I knew in January, or prior to January, I knew in last June that my event was going to be on the tomorrow. So that was a conflict for me. And as council president, because also in consideration with the mayor,
mm-hmm.
that the mayor's, at the time that we were setting the calendar, the mayor has a personal matter in her home, and she occasionally cannot be here, so we agreed that we would change the meeting for this one just in case.
Mayor's usually here.
Yes, she is usually here.
I always try to be.
I know you always.
Yes.
I know you always. Mm-hmm. So, then just let me say, I think it's totally unfair to the residents of the borough and the towns to change the meeting because of one council member who can't make it. We have a very competent council, and you have enough votes that you need to have one member absent. So to change, to make it difficult for everybody else for the purpose of one council member, I think is unfair to the people who put you over there in the office. I think it's unfair to expect that everybody in town should be convenient because you do have something at work.
I apologize that you feel that way, but I will say that we have mm-hmm. a full house here, and we also have a full council, so that the result is not what you are predicting would have happened.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't predict anything. I'm just saying that this is inconvenient. You don't know what people might hear at work Thursday night, and that's a material.
Okay, gotcha. You got me. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
What my concern really is, tonight is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Henry Hudson Board of Education. And I think everybody here is aware that regionalization is kind of a big issue in these towns, and people like to go to the Henry Hudson Board of Education meetings too. So people had to make a choice tonight because one council member 4 months ago, asked.
It wasn't my suggestion that we change the meeting, Mrs. Smith. It was not my suggestion.
Go ahead.
It was not me that suggested that we do this.
I'm sorry, I thought you just said.
Nope.
She had a conflict.
Uh-huh.
And to resolve
so
that.
Because she, the councilwoman, had a conflict.
That's correct.
And voted on unanimously.
Yeah. That I understand. But I didn't understand what you just said.
I just said it wasn't my idea.
It wasn't your idea. I don't care whose idea it was. Doesn't make any difference to me.
But I'm getting the lecture, so I'm just telling you that.
And you all apparently voted for it. My thing is that if you all voted for it, then I do think that that's really an inconsiderate move to make on behalf of the citizens of the borough. I think that the citizens of the borough should be put ahead of one council person. And I further think because it conflicts with one of the schools that's under great stress now and under great conversations, and people have to make a choice to go into one or the other.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so then my next thing is the resolution 2023.
Which 72, 73, 74? Which one? What did it pertain to? What was it pertaining to?
Was it block development or EEOC or payment bills?
My question is there a reason why there's no borough mentioned? There's blank spaces in there, and you're required to approve resolutions with blank spaces that don't refer to the development of the panel. At least that's what's on the agenda. That's what I saw on the agenda that I
read. Smith, do you recall what was in that? What else was in that agenda? So we could try to, in that work resolution.
You have not named the borough of the land of panels, and it's a resolution that you're approving tonight.
72 is the community block development grant.
That's the one.
Oh. Right. So the community development block grant is a standard state grant, and our engineer can provide more detail on it. But that's basically a standard boilerplate a grant that we apply for every year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's in the third paragraph.
It also refers to in the third paragraph.
Yeah, so I believe we're notated in it.
Yeah.
There's another mention.
Because this, you're correct. It says municipality in Carriage. It should say Borough of Atlantic Highlands.
This is your correct.
My question is there any reason why?
I'm certain it was just an oversight. I'm sure it was just an oversight. The fact that it's the Borough of Atlantic Highlands at the top, and it's the Borough Council of Atlantic Highlands that's voting on the resolution, makes it about it is the Borough of Atlantic Highlands. But I think that was just an oversight.
Okay.
Because the state provides these to every municipality who applies.
Well, that's
yeah. You're correct. It should say.
Any municipality could be filled in there. Well, not. This resolution is adopted by this council. I would like to see this council adopt the resolution saying, I'm not ashamed to say Atlantic Highlands.
No.
So I would like them to put that in there.
Well, it does say at the title, it's the Borough of Atlantic Highlands, which is a municipality of the state of New Jersey, so I believe that it's clear, but your comments are, well, and your observation is noted.
Can we amend that?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Council, can we amend that? If we vote on this, can we vote with the amendment of adding Atlantic Highlands?
Sure.
Okay. Nice catches.
Yeah. All right.
Good
day. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Since I do not see any more hands, we'll be moving on to the consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Do we want to consider?
Must we fold that to amend it?
No.
No, you could. No.
Okay.
You could approve it as with the amendment.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have resolution 72 approving renewal community block development grant program, resolution 73 certification of the compliance of the EEOC, and resolution 74 payment of bills $368,879.60. And I need a motion and a second.
Apparently moved.
Starkey, second.
And roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
And now resolution 75-2023 approving the introducing of the 2023 budget.
Now I'll move it.
Now I'll second.
And okay, and now roll call.
Mr. Colasardo?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mrs. Cusick?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Resolution 075 has been approved, public hearing May 25th.
Okay, thank you. And now reports from the council. Mr. Calasardo?
Sure. No new news from fire. In terms of the environmental, the Environmental Commission placed QR code signs all around town for Earth Day. They were pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I printed them out. They looked like this. We were able to scan the QR code, get information from NOAA as it relates to the sea rise. That was a really nice educational feature for Earth Day, among other, which I'll get into. Additionally, the Environmental Commission submitted a grant application towards software licenses to help manage the development of the new environmental resource inventory, which is something that I discussed at a prior council meeting, which will eventually assist the planning board, hopefully at a later date when we have to update our master plan. On the shade tree front, shade tree and was out there in full force, especially on Earth Day. Mm-hmm. There were seedlings handed out at the Arts Council and also in other areas of town. They provided a sign-up sheet for tree requests, probably for the fall planting. There was a sign-up sheet for volunteers to help water the many trees the shade tree planted around town. They also had Mary Charlotte present, Mary Charlotte of Paul Cully and Associates, discuss the many benefits of trees in urban forests, including stormwater management, carbon storage and sequestration, temperature reduction and human health. This was also at the Arts Council on Earth Day. I was not there, but my understanding was that she was fantastic. Everyone was engaged. I think the Shade Tree Commission did a really, really nice job for Earth Day this year, and they should be commended for it. On the recreation front, there was no recreation meeting this month, but coming up on May 13th, we have the hottest event in Atlantic Islands. It's called the Townwide Garage Sale.
Ooh.
It has everything. Sony Walkmans, My Blue Heaven on VHS, Fernando Valenzuela rookie cards, yellow rotary dial phones, and entrepreneurial children selling lemonade, not priced with inflation. So make sure that you get out there on May 13th. You walk town. I mean, I would say 15% of my house is furnished with items that I purchased on the townwide yard sale. So, seriously, it's a great day. I'm unfortunately going to be away that weekend. I'm kicking myself for planning, my wife for planning that vacation. But again, it's a great event, and I encourage everyone to walk the town. There will be a QR code out front in front of Atlantic Islands Borough Hall, where you'll be able to scan and get a map of the town. So you'll be able to walk around with your phone and figure out where to go and where to buy some great stuff that you will probably find nowhere else. So again, great day. I'll Venmo you.
What do they say? Another man's trash is someone's treasure. And I have proof. So thank you. Councilman Crowley.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll just add to what Councilman just said about recreation. Just this week, we've started the process of identifying for the Music and Food Truck Festival, which is going to be Sunday, August 13th. We're going to have between 12 to 15 food trucks. And I know one of our residents asked if we could make sure that there was a vegan food offering, and I think we're going to be able to do that. So there should be something for everybody. We'll also have a beer garden this year. So that'll be a new offering in addition to four live bands, and that runs from about 3 p.m. to about 10 p.m. And I think one other thought was we're still looking for our summer director for recreation. So you can go on to ahnj.com. If you know somebody, go on and you can fill out an application there. First Aid Squad, they've answered 100% of their calls in April. And they had as many as eight just this weekend. Two were people that were involved in a motor vehicle accident. And there were two people, I'm sure you heard the helicopters last week circling overhead.
Mm-hmm.
Two people were treated for hypothermia when their jet skis grounded out on the pilings out there in the marina. We are down an ambulance, and I think we're going to have a first initial conversation. That is redundant. We're going to have an initial conversation on Friday, I believe, right, with Mr. Huben about that and how to move forward. DPW? What did I say?
I mean, you could have a conversation with Mr. Huben.
With Lance Huben, yourself, and Mr. Murphy. Yes, no. All of a sudden, no, there's no contract renegotiations or anything like that. Everything's good. So, no, with Mr. Lance Huben, we'll have our initial conversation.
You thought that review of you was positive a couple of weeks ago.
It went great. No changes. So, DPW, spring cleaning, cleanups are beginning, so please don't blow your leaves, grass clippings, and such into the roadway. And if you have gardener, please remind them not to do that. And you can, of course, if you don't, I'm pretty sure everybody in this room has one of these, one of our borough calendars, but if you ever forget about when pickups are, it's all right there. Also, the map that was not working properly online at HNJ has been repaired, so you can go to that to be able to determine where in your zone pickups are happening in case you've lost track. Also, just say hydrant flushing started last night. They run through the end of the month, maybe into May 1st if they need to. So that starts at 10 o'clock. So try to do any laundry or your dishes before 10 o'clock. If perchance you have clothing in your washer and you forget and you get the rust discoloration from the flushing, remember you can reach out here to Borough Hall and we have packets of the rust remover, which will help get that out of your clothing. And also the next morning when you wake up, if you go to bed early, just turn your cold water on, not your hot water. Turn your cold water on at the lowest point in your house. Let that run for a little bit, and that should get everything out of your system. For police, May 8th, Saturday, you can go online to hnj.com, or you can go to our Facebook page, or you can go to the police department's page. They're having a bike safety course. Going to be great for kids. Adults are welcome as well. And then there also will be a ride after that. And then on May 22nd, still to be determined, we're going to have another Atlantic Highlands Presents program with our police department, probably focusing on all the great services that you may or may not, probably don't know about that we offer, like we're working on senior reassurance, home checks, all that sort of stuff, baby seat, installation in your car. So there's a whole suite of things that the police department does that we'll talk about on that day. And that, Mayor, is it.
Thank you.
First of all, Senior Citizens Committee, I want to thank the Borough Administrator for providing a page on ahnj.com for the Senior Citizens Committee. On that page, it does indicate what the committee's mission is, and I'm going to quote this for you, is to promote and support the health, mental health, welfare, recreational, and safety needs of the senior citizens of Atlantic Highlands. So it's a very wide scope of things that that committee will be looking at. Pending the mayor's approval, we are still looking for a couple of people to volunteer for the committee. You need to be at least 62 years old or be retired and otherwise be an Atlantic Highlands resident. So please, if you're interested, you certainly can reach out to me. You can reach out to the borough administrator if you are interested in being on our committee. We did meet yesterday and we have approved going forward, committee approved going forward on assisting with the police department in the reassurance program, and we hope to be able to expand the numbers of people who may need the reassurance program, not only looking for volunteers to participate in that, but looking for some people who are out there and may need some assistance. So if you know of anyone, please drop me a line our email. I'd appreciate that information. The Senior Citizens Club is sponsoring two walking groups, one for the more active seniors and another group for those who are a little less agile. If you're interested, we want to thank Rich Sales for promoting that. He has been coordinating that, so thank you to Rich. And also just a reminder that on May 9th, Actually, you said May 8th is Saturday, May 8th is a Monday, so you must be May 6th is what you were talking about, just so you know. May 9th is a Tuesday, and we are having the Ready Go program down at the Senior Center in cooperation with the EOM. Both of those committees are involved with that.
Yes, May 6th.
Okay. Yeah. So, we did not have a meeting. We had a meeting earlier this morning, OEM. We had, this month. Our next meeting is May 3rd. So, I have no additional report for the Office of Emergency Management. And lastly, the Veterans Affairs Committee, our next meeting is scheduled for May 2nd. I have no other news to report on the Veterans Affairs Committee. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Duck.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, everyone. Finance personnel, I have nothing more to add on the finance side beyond a sincere thank you to Mr. Ferragina, our department heads, and the team from HFA for all their great work on the budget. It was it's an excellent budget, and I'm excited for the public to see it, especially in this economic environment. I think miracles will work, so congratulations and thank you. On the personnel side, Diane Baird's last day with the municipality is this Friday. Best of luck to Diane in her retirement. One thing to add for fire, members of the apparatus committee of the fire department have been invited to present a workshop at our next meeting on Thursday, May 11th, to update the mayor and council and the community on the request for a new fire engine. EMS task force met on Monday, April 24th, and plotted out the plan to present its findings to mayor and council. The group will meet two more times to discuss and finalize all recommendations to be presented in a workshop meeting on Thursday, June. Mm-hmm. So that is on the schedule. Thank you, Mrs. Clark, for doing that. Planning board met on Thursday, April 6th. The board held a workshop discussion about revising the borough's planning and zoning fees, which have not been updated for 12 years. There was general agreement by the group that this revision should be done soon and needs examined regularly moving forward. However, it was conveyed that the planning board would not and should not make specific recommendations on fee amounts. That is a job of the council. I've begun working with Mr. Ferragina and Mrs. Clark and our borough professionals to bring specific recommendations to this body for consideration. Also part of the workshop meeting, Nancy Tran was officially named Planning Board Secretary. We are very lucky to have her. She jumped right in and is doing a terrific job.
Awesome.
As part of the regular meeting, three applications were heard and completed. A bulk variance request at 38 Asbury Avenue was approved, as was a change of use at Amelia's Kitchen at 77 Center Avenue, mm-hmm. again offering dinner service by reservation. So, as a neighbor and a fan of the Amelia's, mm-hmm. I'm very excited about that.
Absolutely.
And also, what's that?
Parking.
Oh, there was as part of that application, there was an agreement from the mother from St. Agnes Church. Or, to mm-hmm. use the parking lot for overflow parking, so to minimize the impact on the neighbors. So it was very forward-thinking of Amelia mm-hmm. and the team at the Amelia's Kitchen for doing that, so thank you to them. Lastly, the bulk variance request from Atlantic House to enclose the existing patio at the front of the building was also approved. There was one additional application, PB 22-23, a proposal from the Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club to add a rooftop deck was heard but not quite completed. That application has been carried to the next meeting on May 4th at 7 p.m. to hear additional questions and comments from the public. Anyone interested in that application or others on the agenda should come on Thursday, May 4th, Star Wars Day, at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Either in this room or on Zoom. And finally today, Mr. Ferragina and I received an update from Monmouth County Parks on the shared bike lane painting along Avenue D and Center Avenue that I mentioned 2 meetings ago. The plans have been finalized and are completed. And they are awaiting scheduling confirmation from the contractor. What's more, we learned today, they will also be replacing the street signage along the route. So this work is now expected to be completed by the end of May. So that's a great update there.
That's to make things a little easier for people to find their way.
Much clearer in terms of wayfinding, but also safety. So it alerts drivers that there might be cyclists in the area, but it cuts down immensely on the people standing in front of my house looking at Google Maps.
Oh.
So, but it's really, I'm very much looking forward to that vision and the signage. The signage is something that we learned is going to be part of it. So that's great news.
Thank you.
Councilman, so Atlantic House, it's the enclosing of the rooftop?
The outdoor patio.
Yeah.
So the very front of the buildings, if you can picture the second floor, they have an outdoor open patio. They just want to enclose that. They will be the same style windows and glass, just so they can provide more cool seating year-round.
Year-round.
For the restaurant.
Got it.
Good.
That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to be really brief. I wanted to add to the sheet to report that there's been an Arbor Day tree secured. We hope to have it planted in Many Mind Park, hopefully prior on Arbor Day or prior to the weekend, but we'll have a dedication ceremony, both of the park and the tree, at some date to be announced later. But we're really excited, and CME and municipality, DPW, looked at the placement of that tree so that it could be a real shade tree, so it's going to be very beautiful. The Open Space Committee did not meet this month, but we are planning to start the charrettes. That's that word I learned. When we went to visit down, and this is the property that's at the Center Avenue Park, where the adjacent property to where Mr. Dunholtz's development has been making a mess right now. But they're next door. The borough is acquiring property, or has acquired property, and we have our planner is going to be helping us figure out how to look at that holistically. So he has suggested, after visiting himself, that we have something called charrettes, which are stakeholder meetings. I had to look up the word again because I was enamored with it and then I forgot what it was. That they're like a large group meeting, and then you split into smaller groups that are interested in talking about a particular thing. So if you were interested in, you know, passive open space, or you were interested in access for the public, that's maybe with how we would break up, and then we would come back together and report. So we're aiming for the night that's normally the open space night, which is the third Wednesday of the month, to be, we're aiming for that, but I haven't confirmed with the professionals, but if that's the date, we will be sure to spread it far and wide even before our meeting, because we would like as much public impact on that as well, involvement and impact. In addition, that won't be the only one, but and we have to learn how to have these stress and get good at it, so that we're looking forward to that. Cannabis committee did meet briefly on April 20th, which is apparently a significant date in that community. I'm quite naive. on 420, and we met at 5 o'clock. Yes. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, let's meet on that. Anyway, the cannabis committee is planning on having an information session, most likely over at the Schmod Castle. We'd like to do it in between an introduction and this, you know, second reading workshop, so that all the public can ask and as many questions as they would like, and then the mayor and council can consider whether or not we would adopt any ordinance or any changes to our existing ordinance. A reminder, this is a council president reminder to the mayor and council up here, when we're in executive session, it's executive session, so occasionally when a member of the public in writing comes to the borough administrator, to a member of council, to our clerk, and asks a question that's worded exactly the way it was worded in executive session, it raises eyebrows. So I'm just reminding you all that when we're in executive session, it's executive session. We have a lot of important things on our plate right now, and we don't want to mess that up. And finally, the current constituted Harbor Commission is incredibly committed to our tenants, and we have been working really hard. I really appreciate the work, I think all of us do, of our new attorney, Mr. Cannon. Our top priority is repairs to the buildings that have been non-functional, or in some cases functional but not fully functional. We have made significant investment in an engineering report that was completed by CME about a month and a half ago. And we are waiting for a second proposal from an architect to immediately take care of the work that needs to be done and the architectural work that needs to be done to repair the building. Secondly, and apart from that, we're in litigation with our bond, the bond company, and that's ongoing and confidential, but I can tell you that there's a lot of activity on that, and it is the top commitment of the Harbor Commission right now to resolve this and to resolve it in a way that has our tenants protected. There are a couple of leases in the harbor that are currently not finalized, and that is our second priority. And that is my report, Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman Murphy.
Thank you, Mayor. Not a whole lot left to talk about. I will add to Councilwoman's Harbor report that the senior building has been completed. The improvements there look fantastic. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, please do so. Adding to the DPW report, cardboard, all residents and businesses, this is a reminder that cardboard and paper products need to be tied into bundles, are broken down and placed into a secured box. Rather. Otherwise, loose cardboard and paper products will blow all over the town, and on recycling days, It makes quite the mess, and there will be warnings handed out in the future. Brush, zone-by-zone brush pickup has started in April, and at this time, all zones have been completed. Any material that is out in town is now in violation. The borough yard is open for borough residents from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, for brush drop-off. The next townwide brush pickup is not until May 29th, starting in Zone 1. Mayor, I want to acknowledge an event that's beginning next month that I'm affiliated with this organization. And as many may know, that May is a Mental Health Awareness Month. And starting May 1st, the No Stigma Network is going to be hosting their third annual virtual walk. That I want to acknowledge. This is a fantastic walk where you can actually get sponsorship to sponsor every mile that you walk. So to honor National Mental Health Awareness Month and raise funds for NSN's programs, there will be a kickoff date Monday, May 1st, 2023, and that pep rally will begin 6:30 to 7:30. If you're interested in learning more information, I'll give you some information on where to find it, but we're asking for those that are interested to walk, get pledges to walk, to acknowledge mental health, eliminate the stigma and bias, and raise some funds for the nonprofit organization. This is an opportunity for all friends and family and residents to participate. It can be fun. They're looking, if you want to send videos, there'll be a social media site that you can send your videos to. Keep track of your miles and set personal goals and how far and how often you want to walk. It can take place anytime during the month of May. And if it's okay, I'd like to see if we can publish or post some of this on our website, this information.
Mm-hmm. I'll speak to the clerk tomorrow about that.
That would be fantastic. And then lastly, today, Mr. Ferrandino, I'm not sure if you're going to acknowledge this in your report, but today was the day where JCP&L's helicopter was flying over doing the inspections, correct?
That's correct.
Did you intend on mentioning that? Or?
I mentioned it the last meeting, and I did not have it for tonight, so thank you for bringing it up again. I appreciate that.
All right. And I'll leave that for you then. And that's it for me then, Mayor.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
So the Mayor, I would love to be a member of the Ladies Auxiliary. I'm really I just help out sometimes.
Oh, okay.
But she reminded me that the Ladies Auxiliary is going to have an open house from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Firehouse on East Mount. And it's a great day to come and thank them for what they do and think about joining.
85 years.
I just do what they tell me to do. Like, go raffle tickets or hats.
All right, thank you. And now our administrator's report.
Thank you, Mayor. A few items. Regarding the senior building, it was notated that it is complete. It is. So the whole interior of the building has been repainted. The colors were chosen by members that use that facility. And the floors were stripped and waxed, and it really looks nice. So I want to thank those individuals who did the actual work. Much appreciated, and I'm sure the people who use that facility appreciate it as well. Next item, my condolences to the Sweeney and Strud families on the passing of Jay Strud. On April 19th, the borough received approval from the county for closure of First Avenue, CR8, between West Highlands and Bay Avenues from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, June 17th, for the Chamber Car Show. The Chamber Car Show rain date would be the next day, June 18th. DPW and all borough emergency services departments have been informed. The borough congratulates our resident Muriel Smith on her recent award being named 2022 Municipal Court Mediation Volunteer of the Year at the New Jersey Court's annual Volunteer Appreciation Dinner. So congratulations. On April 21st, Mayor Gluckstein and I attended the Hackensack Meridian Bayshore Medical Center Mayor's Luncheon. And it was, I just want to spend one quick minute talking about that. It was very informative. The Bayshore Medical Center is not the Bayshore Medical Center that a lot of people are familiar with from the past. They've invested a lot of monies in refurbishing it. And it really is a small state-of-the-art facility now that specializes in a couple of things that they want to get the word out. And we promised that there was a lot of towns there, but we promised we would at least mention it to our public because it directly benefits the people in this community if they were to take advantage of those services. First and foremost, areas of specialties are really twofold that they specialize in. Cardiatric. So if God forbid anybody has a heart attack, that's a state-of-the-art facility there. Their response time is the best in the area. for treating individuals who have heart attacks. And secondly, state-of-the-art mammogram screening equipment. They have the most updated, sophisticated equipment of any hospital in the area relative to that service. So we want to let the community know that. Right now, they, as well as many other hospitals, have a shortfall of volunteers due to COVID. The volunteer rate has really dropped significantly, and they want to get the word out there that if you're interested in being a volunteer, whether it's a regular active volunteer or just on occasion, please reach out to them. They also have a lot of employment opportunities for younger folks, specifically folks who are graduating high school and may not have plans to go to a college or a university. They have a mentorship program where you can actually start a career there. And they had examples of individuals there who have been there for 20, 30 years that have a full career that chose that path. So we want to get the word out there as well.
Do you remember what they said if you not to go there?
So if you're going to have a baby, do not go there because they don't offer that service. All right. So in a pinch, they can obviously help you out, but don't tell the ambulance to go there if you're about to have a baby. Go to another hospital. That's not what they do there. Right. Yeah. Thank you, Mayor, for reminding me of that. As reported at the last council meeting and then again this evening, the Atlantic Highlands Water Department is conducting its semi-annual flushing of the entire water distribution system, which began on the 24th. It will continue the 28th, including May 1st if necessary, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I want to give a specific thank you to the Atlantic Highlands Police Department for issuing a rave alert regarding that flushing. It really helped because last year we got a significant amount of phone calls here at Borough Hall and emails asking about why there's discoloration and what's going on. And this year the communication on all levels was so great that we had very little. I don't want to jinx myself because there's still a couple days left. And the Rave Alert really helped out with that. So thank you to them for doing that. And if you're not registered on Rave, just go on to the Borough website, register yourself on there, whether you want it to be via phone or text or what have you.
For all of them.
Regionalization. On April 21st, a regionalization mediation meeting was held in Matawan. In attendance were the mayors, administrators, council presidents, special counsels, and financial experts for the boroughs of Highlands and Atlantic Highlands. A mediator also attended and oversaw the meeting. The meeting was positive and proactive. As soon as the matter is resolved, our expectation is to have our special counsel and financial expert inform the public on the details. Until then, all parties have agreed in the mediation process that it is confidential at this point in time. We received a letter from the DEP informing the borough that stormwater permitting and water quality management received our application for the stormwater assistant grant. I'm pleased to inform and to announce that it has been approved. The borough was awarded $15,000 now, and the remaining $10,000 will be distributed upon submittal of the MS4 infrastructure map. So that's another grant win for the municipality. Milkweed. So there was a concern brought to my attention regarding the potential danger of milkweed being consumed by dogs or, God forbid, children if planted in the borough. So if you recall, we had plans to plant milkweed at various locations to assist with the monarch butterflies pledge that we had proposed. So we're currently reviewing that. What I did was I contacted the Monmouth County Health Department. I also contacted the GIF and asked them to do some research and weigh in. The county did get back to me. The GIF hasn't yet. So when they do, I will reevaluate all that, and we will come to a resolution on that matter and figure out a way to proceed forward. Okay. The next council meeting will be Thursday, May 11th. As was mentioned, we congratulate Diane Berg on her upcoming retirement and her commitment to the borough over the years. Her last day as the utility collector will be this Friday. She is also doing a great job training Catherine Pooler, who we welcome to the borough staff and will become the new utility collector and tax collector.
You know, I ran into the Long Branch people.
I'm sure they're very happy we took her away. And finally, elected officials. I would like to remind you that April 30th, their financial disclosure statements are in. So thank you to those who already got them in. Those who haven't, that's your deadline. It's not our requirement. It's a state requirement. Please get them in.
And today is?
Today is National Administrative Helpers Day. So the staff members who are administrative staff, we celebrated today by providing a lunch for them at Borough Hall. The vast majority of what we do every day is handled by the administrative staff. So they're the backbone of what goes on in the borough. So I thank them. Well, I thank the people in the building. They do an amazing job, and they deserve more than a luncheon, but that's all I could provide. But thank you.
Thank you.
And that's it for my report, Mayor.
Okay, thank you.
And allow us as council to thank you, Ms. Ferrantino. Yes. Thank you very much.
Mr. Romeyer.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Our 22 road program is substantially complete at this time. We have a punch list in place at this point, so we're working with the contractor to address all the outstanding issues that we've identified. The project will not get closed out on our end until all punch list items are addressed. You may notice pavement cores being extracted on the new mat. It's a requirement by the grant source. If you recall, this project is largely funded by DOT municipal aid. The 22 and 23 DOT municipal aid grants have been combined for the upcoming improvement project for East Garfield and Grand Avenue. You may have seen our survey crews out there. Field survey is complete at this point. Base mapping is complete. We're advancing the design plans, specs, and estimate at this point. There is a award deadline for that grant coming quickly. It's in October of this year. So we need to conclude that design, get authorization from DOT to go out to bid. Probably advertise and aim to award a contract to implement the next two DOT grants prior to October of this year. Mr. Ferrantino discussed the MS4 grant that was received that will help offset new requirements from the DEP for the municipal stormwater system reporting that the borough is required to get annually. And then I believe it was announced at your last council meeting, but the borough also received a NJDCA local recreation grant in the amount of $77,000 for the borough skate park. That's all I have to report.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Romeyer, some of the curbs are getting redone, and if you had peanut stone, previously, and now it's just concrete, but the peanut stone was saved. If your curb is getting redone, can you, as a resident, can you ask for the peanut stone to be reinstated?
So, do you want me to weigh in real quick? So,
sure.
What we've learned in a very short period of time is that peanut stone is becoming very difficult to get. So, the short answer is, if it's available, yes. If it's not, we won't be able to do so. So that's that. The other element is, and if somebody wants peanut stone and it's available, that's fine. Just please be aware, it is very porous, so it breaks very easily or much easier when a vehicle bumps into it with their tires, or if the plow kind of nips it, it breaks apart much faster than the concrete. But yes, if it's available and the resident would like the peanut stone, yes.
Great, thank you.
If I could just add to that, thank you, Mr. Ferrantino. With this last road program, the contractor collected whatever they could salvage when they removed the old peanut stone and they donated it to the borough. So I think they added to the stockpile for the borough for miscellaneous repairs, because it's very hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have to just put it out there that it is a very fragile material. And it's an irregular material too, so trying to remove it from the concrete base that it's in and with the mortar and the joints, typically the borough's contractors would do their best to salvage it, but there's no guarantee that you can get it out and keep it in a usable condition.
Agreed. Understood. But it's good for the residents to know they've got that option.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
And Sarah?
Yes.
Okay. The only information I was asked to report tonight is that this month, Schaefer Shane Jallo has taken on handling the tax appeals for the borough. Currently, there are 5 tax appeals pending, 3 of which are residential and 2 of which are commercial.
All right.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now moving on, public comment. I will. I'm going to go to Zoom first.
15 attendees, 2 hands raised. First one is Jim Smith. I'll bring him over.
Okay.
Mr. Smith, are you available to unmute yourself?
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon, or good evening. Does the Planning Act have a CFO requirement to occupy commercial properties?
Could we please have your address?
I'm sorry, it's Jim Smith. 460 East College Avenue, Holly Springs, Mississippi.
Thank you.
Mr. Smith, can you repeat the question, please?
Does the Planning House have a CFO requirement to occupy commercial properties?
I'd have to confirm with the code enforcement officer. I believe so, but I can provide an exact answer at a later date, but I believe the answer is yes.
Okay. Would you know if all of your commercial tenants at the Harbor have CFOs?
I believe they do, but again, that's a question I would have to confirm.
Okay. And Mr. Weinstorf produced a document to the borough attorney at a meeting or 2 ago. I believe it was a deed for title orders. I was told by Mr. Ferragina that this document could impact the use of the property. What's the status of the attorney's review on that?
So the borough attorney is not here this evening, but I can inquire with her regarding that and get back to you.
Okay.
Or she can provide an update at the next meeting, either way.
All right, that's fine. Now, I'm a little bit confused. And Mr. Merging, I sent you a letter today. At the last meeting, at timestamp 2:14:55, the borough, in my response to a question of who can submit documents to the mayor and council during a meeting, replied that we're happy to accept documents from anybody. She went on to say that if it impacts the borough or the borough's business, the only exclusion that the attorney made was that documents dealing with petitions may or may not be accepted. Now, subsequently, since my questions at the last meeting weren't answered to my satisfaction, we've exchanged emails back and forth. And seemingly, your response on behalf of the mayor contradicts what the borough attorney said at the last meeting. So my first question really is, which answer applies to me? Or documents received from anybody? And the only restrictions are petitions? Or is the mayor's answer, where the documents offered, not the offerer, was the issue, and what you quote as ancient documents involving property on the borough that could impact its use, they're acceptable, but documents regarding regionalization aren't acceptable. So do you have a list of documents that are acceptable to be produced by the public for the mayor and council during a meeting?
So I, as the administrator, don't have a list to my knowledge. if there's specific state guidelines or rules pertaining to the submittal of documents, the borough attorney would be the one to address that. As the administrator, anyone in the public is welcome to email me or send me whatever documents they'd like. If they want me to share them with the governing body and notate that, I always do that, and the governing body could confirm that here. I always share with them if it's notated to share it with them. I would add that, you know, if somebody wants to leave a document at the front of the counter as opposed to emailing it, they're welcome to do that as well here at Borough Hall.
I'm specifically speaking about submitting documents to the mayor and council during a borough council meeting. As you are aware, it's my contention that certain people are treated differently than other people. For example, during the meeting I'm speaking of in question, Muriel Smith attempted to submit a document to the borough and council during the meeting, which was absolutely rejected. I provided you the date and time stamps, I provided you the quotations. During the same meeting, another individual not only submitted a document, it was specifically requested that he submit a document. So I'm just trying to clarify what documents can be handed to the borough and council during the council meeting. You responded that if anyone has documents regarding regionalizations that they would like to share, it's best to submit to the administrator's office so it may be reviewed and possibly forwarded to special counsel. But that wasn't said at that meeting. That I'm just a little bit confused. You know, you ask a question during this meeting, you get an answer. You follow up with an email, you get a separate and different, distinctly different answer. So if the borough does not have a written list of documents that are accepted during a meeting, I would assume that any document, for the exception of the petitions, could be offered by a member of the public to the mayor and council during a meeting. Is that correct?
So, first and foremost, this is not a deposition. So, I would answer by saying we did already provide an answer. If you don't like the answer, I apologize. As the administrator, and I'm not the legal counsel here, so, you know, I don't have all of the state statutes and rules and regulations at the top of my head pertaining to the governance of documents at council meetings. However, as the administrator, if somebody wants to leave a document behind for me, they're welcome to leave a document behind. I, as the minister, would rather not have any member of the public crossing over the doors there and entering the area of the dais, as I think most municipalities would agree with that. And if it's an item that in regards to special counsel items, so we have various special counsels currently with the in borough pertaining to various different items. For example, we have special counsel for regionalization. We have special counsel for land acquisition. We have bond counsel. So we have different special counsels out there. If it's a matter pertaining to a special counsel item, then or litigation, a litigation matter, then my suggestion would be to have those documents sent directly to that attorney who's handling that matter, or submitted to me via email or left at the counter, and I can pass it on properly to that special counsel. So that's my answer.
Okay, I understand, and I appreciate that answer. Maybe my question is better suited to be answered by the mayor, since she's the one that denied acceptance of the document during the meeting, and she's the one that requested the document from the other person. I'm not trying to be argumentative, and it's not that I don't like her answer. I'm confused because it conflicts with what was said in this meeting, what the borough attorney said, and what your letter on behalf of the mayor said. There just seems to be a conflict that the mayor and council don't know what the answer to my question is. Which is fine if they don't know what the answer to the question is. Just do me a favor, when you figure it out, send me an email and I'll be happy to abide by it. And not ask the question 15 times, but when you send out for communication, and poor communications is conflicting communications, then it begs questions. So, Ms. Mayor, do you have an answer?
Sir, you've asked that question and you've made that representation numerous times, and your question has been answered as best as we can here. So I think that at this point it's been asked and answered. It's on the record. So I think that we should conclude this discussion of this particular issue.
Great. Interesting. Okay, last question. Mr. Rollmeyer indicated that on one of his projects, it wouldn't be closed out until all punch list items are completed. It's my understanding with the marina, with Towboat USA or Towboat US, that they have a number of problems down there. Why wasn't that project not closed out until all items were resolved?
So the Towboat building, Mr. Smith, is in litigation, and I would advise the council and our professionals not to answer any questions regarding the Towboat building, as it could adversely affect the legal situation that we are in with that building.
Also, just a reminder that CME was not our engineer when that building was for that building. So Doug is not. I just meant that he's not able to respond for that.
Councilwoman and Ms. Regina, just one thing. I don't want to get into what litigation is going on, but can you, I think you said it earlier tonight in your report that there are repairs that are being made. What, did I understand that correctly?
Or I said that we are prioritizing repair, yeah, and that we have architects that are proposing to be the architects for the repairs.
Okay.
And there'll be subcontractors hired. That's
great.
What I said.
Thank you.
Okay. To that end, Mr. Crowley, how long has the Towboat US been in occupancy of that building and the stakeholders, do you know?
I'm not a member of the Harbor Commission, so I don't know when the original contracts were drawn, but several years. I would defer to others.
Okay. Just want to reiterate what I said before.
Thank you. And there's another hand.
Another hand raised is Tracy Abby White. I'll bring over.
Okay.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just have one question. The last council meeting, you stated you were going to meet with our special attorney and the financial advisor to discuss regionalization, which was confirmed tonight by Mr. Ferragina. I would like to understand, I know that you can't share what happened in that meeting, but to say that everything is confidential with no end or no next steps, other than we are going to meet sometime in the future, is a little disconcerting. So would someone please clarify for the members, the taxpaying members of the community that are paying for these specialists, what's the next step and when we should expect a report?
I don't know when you're going to expect a report. The next step is to have a follow-up meeting.
I mean a report of, okay, we're going to meet in 3 weeks or so and do something.
We're
established. I don't mean all done.
Right, so we're currently trying to establish a date when we can all meet again. That date has not been established.
Okay, and who is, when you say we can all meet, who would all be?
So it's the same parties that met on April 21st.
Okay.
So that,
and can you give us, again, the taxpayers an idea of what the discussions are? What are we doing? I mean, it just seems like we're meeting and meeting and meeting and we're not getting anywhere. What's the objective?
So beyond saying that we are proceeding forward with mediation relative to regionalization, I don't feel comfortable saying anymore. All parties have agreed that it's in everyone's best interest to keep it confidential.
And not only that, just as a practicing attorney, most...
Can you speak up?
Yeah, and just as a practicing attorney, any information that you say at a mediation, for the most part, is confidential. I mean, candidly, it's all confidential.
Of course.
And so, I respect what the borough administrator is doing in a sentence by keeping everything under wraps. Well, I'm sure there will be an update at some point, but until that time is appropriate, I think it's best to keep that. The confidences of all municipalities respected in this moment.
I think what's not confidential is what Mr. Ferragina said in his report, which is going to be reported by all parties, is that it was a very, very positive meeting.
Exactly.
I concur with that.
When you just said at some point, that's what concerns us, because we've been down this route before, that there is a deadline, it is looming. Some of us want to make sure that the I's are dotted and the T's crossed so that we can put this on the ballot so the voters have the opportunity to vote. And so I and several other people in the community are just going to keep reminding you, saying we'd like to offer our support so that, again, we get it on the ballot for the votes.
I appreciate that. I think
the main answers are very disconcerting.
Mr. Ferragina,
we don't have any problem having a no-mo May and protecting the insects, but I am concerned that our senior citizens and our children do not have the same respect and grace.
So I
would appreciate some more information.
So I would respectfully disagree. Comparing a resolution to a school regionalization project potential, which is very large, complicated, as you're aware, is not the same thing. It's not apples and apples. It's apples and oranges.
You understand what I was trying to say, though, Mr. Ferragina, and you're smarter than that.
But I think we can say publicly, I will say publicly, and this isn't a confident thing, dotting the I's and crossing the T's are exactly where we're at.
Do you feel confident, Councilwoman, that you will have everything submitted by the appropriate deadline so that we will have a question on the ballot in November?
No, I can't say that. I can say that it was a very positive meeting. That's what we've all agreed to say.
And then you just made my point, and that's just what concerns us, because you're all intelligent people. We're spending a lot of money on highly paid specialists, and the fact that nobody can say this will be on the ballot to vote this November is very disconcerting.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
No more hands?
No other hands raised.
Regina Cannon, 21 King James Lane. First of all, I want to thank whoever went to the meeting, reported to the school. Thank you for the time and taking the time as well to ensure you have the right, so it's not going to be another barrier going forth. And I'm sure I wasn't in the meeting, and Tracy Abbey, she knows, as well as the next one, since she's been on the Board of Education and also the one thing it looked out is that I'm sure everybody's going to try to set this meeting up, the next one, as soon as possible. I don't think at this point, I only think at the point last time when Highland voted for something, and then that's where it all messed up. We're all on the same page now, we're all moving forward, and I think that you're going to set the meeting up as soon as possible. Wasn't there, but I'm just thinking about that. I think Mr. Doherty, you had said something about the roads being painted for the bikes. I just didn't catch the date for it. Did it give you a date when that's going to...
So the county anticipates the work will be completed by the end of May.
Oh, okay.
So yes, within the next few weeks.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Councilwoman Cusack, you had mentioned that you can join the senior. Now, it used to be over 55 was the club that was in town. Did they change that to 62 and over now?
No, the club did not change, but the committee members are 62.
Oh, okay.
Or retired.
Now, what if somebody has retired prior to 62?
Yeah. Or retired would be
so
fine.
You can be a young 57 and you're retired.
You want to join?
Not really. I'm just saying, a young 57. Thank you for that. No, that's all I wanted to know. Thank
sure.
you. I didn't understand. I thought, but the club that is down still is the over 55.
Is over 55.
Okay.
That's correct.
Thank you. The road work. So, Mr. Rock, what you're saying is, if, say, I had a house on Mount Avenue and there was peanut sale, and you were going to come and you were going to refuse a road, that resident on Mount Avenue has a choice that they can have their peanut sale put back in place. Or not. We can't. You're going to rip that peanut stone out that is part of the aesthetics of Atlantic Highlands and put new curb in.
That's not necessarily true.
Okay. That is just a little confusing what everybody's talking about, and I think that we can make it clear here to people. Either yes, you can or you can't. And I think that the peanut stone is pretty durable because we've had them in this town before we even established in 1887. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry.
So if I can clarify. The road program that just concluded, it addressed the existing curbing on a case-by-case basis. Some of it was replaced with concrete. Some was reset in kind with peanut stone. The design intention for the prior projects has always been to try to match the character of that specific area. If it's a mill and overlay project, try to minimize the impacts to the curbing itself, but it's always been a case-by-case basis. And what I think the discussion tonight involved was, if peanut stone is to be removed and replaced with concrete, that it would be made of, the material would be made available to the adjacent property owner. I think that was the intention of tonight.
Because my thing is, let's even forget this project, because I had mentioned this previously. If I live in Mount Avenue, I'm going to go with 45 East Mount Avenue. Okay, so we're going to throw that out there. I've lived there for a long time, but I no longer live there. If you come by and say, we're going to do road work, and I call up the government and say, listen, I have this peanut stone here for 55 years in front of my home. I want it replaced with peanuts. And the peanut stone you're taking out, you're down the road, you're going to slop it into my yard. And when you go in, you start to do the coating. Can't you use the same peanut stone? Those were damaged, you might have to replace a couple. Could you put that peanut stone back in? I'm not talking about the phase that we just went through now. I'm talking about a phase that more than likely it's going to be coming up shortly. Or maybe next year.
My answer would be possibly.
Okay.
It really depends on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
If there's a lot that requires...
something in a suggestion... That if somebody, a lot of times people have purchased these homes in Atlantic Highlands because they like the appeal of the peanut stone, peanut wall. I have to tell you, if I have a peanut wall, which is not 45 East Mount Avenue, and you're ripping up my peanut stone curbing, I would want it put back. And I know that a woman lived there, and it was 40 years ago, 40, and it's still there. Had it replaced by the gas company. When they pulled it up, they just put it back down because it went with the peanut stone wall in front of the home. That's all I'm asking. I don't know if you have to put it in an ordinance. I don't know if you say it is case by case, but the majority. If they start just pulling up all the stuff that is our history, I mean, why even save Hutchins Springs? That's peanut stone. Why save the stone bridge? Let that crumble to the ground. That's peanut stone. We can put up a concrete bridge going over, Grand Avenue. Let's try to keep the aesthetics of Atlantic Island, please.
You know, a couple of years ago, we gave residents the option of when we were removing trees. They were given the option to be able to choose the type of tree that they wanted on their parkway. And I think there were three that were readily available in the program that where we were purchasing them and replanting them. Is this something that going forward, it sounds like we're done this year, but going forward next year that we can sort of memorialize in this, that if a resident, and I understand fully that when we're plowing, the peanut stone sometimes gets in the way of the plows, they'll bump up because it's an irregular surface, but if a resident felt strongly and they had peanut stone and it could be salvaged when removed if it didn't crumble, that we can give them the option to be able to put that back maybe on front, in front of the concrete. I mean, it's as Ms. Keelan is saying, it's part of the character of the town. And some people feel very strongly about it. So is that something that we can just add in on the next contract going forward if give the neighbor the option?
Something we discuss now or before the next contract?
Well, I'm just, Jimmy, I understand what you're saying, right? We're not going to resolve it tonight, right now. But is that something that we can put into the next contract going forward when we're doing more street repairs that we encounter?
The borough has implemented peanut stone replacement curbing in the past. It can be done. Yeah. It just has to be decided. Do you want uniform concrete? Do you want to keep what's out there? Do you want a hodgepodge? There's pros and cons with everything. I understand the aesthetic value of it. It adds cost. But there's pros and cons with it. So I think case by case, it varies. There's sections in the municipality where there's no curb at all. Like those areas, if they're a good candidate to receive new curbing, we'll probably go to concrete, a standard concrete vertical. The areas that have peanut stone largely, I agree. Maybe they could be a good candidate to go back as peanut.
Why does anybody know why it's changed? You said it used to be that this council here voted. Let's change it.
No, it was many years ago because I've discussed this a little bit, and it was many years ago that there was the idea of a uniformity of a clean aesthetic with a clean curb, and the reasons for that make a lot of sense. But you know, you raise a good point. If I had a house and I had a peanut stone wall, I would want my curb to reflect the character of the house. So I think going forward, maybe, if council doesn't mind, next year, when the next batch of contracts come up, can we then workshop this or just have a conversation and find out how the sitting council at that point feels?
What I'm talking about, just to make it clear, I'm not saying if somebody already has a crumbling concrete curbing in front of their house, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they say, "Ooh, wow, a peanut stone." Sorry, that's on the down with you. I'm right. saying if you're coming in and you're just serving a peanut stone curb that's already there, because we've had several. Then mm-hmm. concrete, then peanut stone, then concrete. If you have to go back in or a new street or whatever, and somebody has peanut stone now in front of the home, I think my opinion, that resident should be asked, listen, knock, knock. I don't know what happened mm-hmm. knocking on people's door. Hey, you have peanut stone out here. Would you like a new concrete thing? Don't talk someone about peanut stone for more money, but would you like peanut stone or would you like concrete? I don't know where the heck is a big deal. I'm not saying offer people. If somebody has concrete now and they want to put peanut stone, that's the responsibility of the homeowner. Mm-hmm. But if the cow's going in and ripping up the peanut stone that's already been there since 1887 or more, is that I think that the person should have a choice to put.
When my street was done, when they removed my trees, and I had the options, I also had the peanut stone wall. I have a peanut stone wall, and I have a peanut stone curb. And when they replaced 3rd Avenue Street, they put my curb back. So it is, I think, on mm-hmm. a case-by-case basis.
So how did you get that, councilman?
I actually asked the borough administrator in that moment, will my peanut stone...
That wasn't me.
I asked publicly,
candidly. I mean,
no, I didn't know. Like, yeah. I know on the same street there was a woman who said she came down and asked with Borough Hall, and she kept peanut stone back. It's the same thing. It's on 7th Avenue where it's a peanut stone, and it's on the corner coming down East Highland and 7th. And she was told, no, she could not get her peanut stone put back in place. Now it's piled up in the driveway. But that's amongst you guys. I lived here all of my life. I would like to try to keep as much mm-hmm. history of the town possible as we go forward, if that's exact. And it might be a little bit more, but it's going to be a little bit more. And like I said, the other piece that was placed about 40 years ago now on Mount Avenue, it's still there. It's not crumbled. It's fine. But let's go on. But thank you. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I just didn't know what was going on.
Glad to hear. Thanks.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Fuser, really quick. You mentioned Atlantic City bus for the seniors. Is that still on? Is that full? How old do you have to be to go on that?
That is through the club.
No.
Senior citizens. Okay. I believe it's make sense.
Make sense. And do you have to be a certain age? I guess 21 and above?
It's with the seniors, it's not.
Sometimes, like I know Conover Village has, and they have more room than putting out the people where you can go up and ask any other room for you.
I can't answer that question.
Okay. And I think Just one more thing I want to clarify. I was at the meeting when the mayor was asked, somebody, I believe it was Mrs. Smith, had a letter and it had to do with the school board stuff that's going on. And the mayor stated very graciously, I didn't see the letter. I think that's what it was about, something that the superintendent put out or they sent it for that. And you had said, I'm sorry, I didn't see the letter. Mrs. Smith here, she's always prepared, said, well, I got it. Would you like to read it? And you graciously sit back, not right now, because we're in the middle of a big meeting, but I would love to read it at the end of the meeting. That's what occurred. And then another time, I think it was ex-mayor. Former mayor. I always call the mayor because I'm respectful, and that's what my parents let me grow up with. So, Mayor Horner was here and he had a stack of things. And I believe it was Councilman Cranley that said, oh, can we have a copy of those and we'll give them to whatever Stein's or, it's not Stein's, but the other attorney so they can possibly look at it. Is that what occurred?
Yes.
Okay. So that's what I remember. It's not a big mystery. I believe that you have probably a matchbook and you want to present it to the mayor and council, you can come and say, hey, I have a matchbook that I would like you to see, or I have a signature, 30,000 signatures on picking up bubblegum on Tuesdays. You can say, I would like to look at that if you don't mind after, you can maybe make copies and give it to the council people. I have never been at a council meeting. I've, again, lived in this town for 57 years. That any council, mayor and council, I will refuse to take papers from any resident of Atlanta County. And if I'm wrong, that's what I remember of what occurred at that meeting. I'm not reading any tape, it's right here, or listening to the tape, it's right here. I was here, I know what I heard, what everybody said. I'm just saying, I am.
Thank you.
Fighting. And I think that is. Oh, no, and maybe I missed it. Did anybody mention the PBA ball? Well, let me tell you, it's the hottest ticket in town.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that they're selling fast. If you're going to get them, please go out and see any patrol ranger or chief or anybody else. Also, if you have a business or you would like to just say, hey, thank you for your service, you can also take an ad.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing those right now. And better also, if you'd like to, which my family's doing all three, is if you can't give me more of those, you can also donate a basket for the chance auction.
Which is going to the police explorers.
Mm-hmm.
And, to be clear, that is
thank you very much.
Friday, May 26th at 7 p.m. at the Shore Casino.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the update on regionalization. I trust you will get together as soon as humanly possible to try and move this thing along. I would suggest maybe the next time, if it's not complete, you're not let anyone leave the room until you have a next date. The fact that it's 5 days later and we still don't have a date is a little bit disconcerting given the limited amount of time we have. So don't let anyone out of the room next time. If we don't finish, when are we all getting together? Because that's how it drags on. Things start playing. Phone tag, email tag, and it just drags it on. And Tracy Abbey actually covered some other things I wanted to say. But one question I have for the mayor of the council. How do items get on the agenda?
Well,
yeah, sure. So obviously items 1, 2, 4 are standard for every single meeting. Then there are resolutions that are boilerplate resolutions that are required sometimes by the county, sometimes by the state, sometimes by the federal government. We get those notifications, we add them to the calendar, to the agenda, because they're usually time sensitive and have to be submitted by a certain time. There are proclamations that sometimes the council members themselves would like added. It's at the mayor's discretion to have that on the agenda or not.
Mm-hmm.
Those would be a proclamation, sometimes a resolution, depending on the nature of it, pertaining to different causes, awarenesses, things of that nature. Then there's special council items. So if the borough is working on for regionalization, land acquisition, anything like that, if there's a matter like that that pertains to executive session or an update
or a resolution to be passed or a vote to be taken, that's added to the agenda. And obviously the reports of council members, that's automatically on the agendas every council meeting as well. The last four bullets are all always on there as well. So that basically encompasses the whole.
So just very specifically, did anyone up here think that an update on regionalization was agenda worthy?
Yes.
It wasn't on the agenda?
It was in a report.
It was provided in the business administrator's report.
And we discussed how it was going to be reported. Was it going to be in a committee report? But there is, so we asked the borough administrator to do that.
It was literally the last thing that was said on the entire time of reading. Just given the...
He's the last speaker.
Awareness, and I think people thinking that we might be a little farther along, given I think there was great anticipation of last Friday's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect a lot of people were anxious to hear what an update was, and the fact that it was a bullet point, very dying and that far, at least to me, doesn't demonstrate the recognition of the importance of just the update. Like, it literally was as simple as that. The update is, we had a great meeting, we made progress, we're going to meet. And to me, that could have certainly been worthy to be in the front part of the agenda. Not I don't say carry, that's probably the wrong word, but not the fifth bullet that the road administrator touches to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Smith.
Yes, Ms. 2900 Avenue. I'm not going to belabor what was said or what was not said at the last meeting, other than to say that Mr. Smith was cut off. I was ended. I'm not accusing you of anything because the attorney, and I can't read that far.
Fitzpatrick.
But so I can excuse you because you weren't at the meeting, so you don't know the questions that he hasn't asked before, but he had not asked that. However, you did let Regina stand up and talk a lot about the same thing she wouldn't have been talked about. And I
can I just respond to that? I didn't, it's not that I cut him off. He was just making the same, he was repeating himself.
He only asked one question, and it was of the mayor, and I'm not going to pursue that.
Okay.
But it was the one question that he asked that he had not asked before. It wasn't a repetitive thing. Just so that you all know, if there is a difference of opinion on what was said at that meeting, then I do think that Regina should listen to the recording if they don't believe what Regina said. But that's all I'm going to say about that one. Thank you very kindly. I'd like to start off with a lot of congratulations, first of all, for the administrative staff. I absolutely believe you. We've got an outstanding staff. I think Nancy Tran is going to be terrific in the playing for us here in Highlands, and she's great there. So. But the saying how great this administrative staff is, I think is terrific. Can you name the administrative staff members?
Sure. So we have Michelle Clark.
I just want to hear their names.
Sure, yeah. We have Michelle Clark, our clerk.
Right.
We have Beth Merkel, who handles various items, primarily HR, but other items. We have Diane Berg, who is our utility collector. She's going to be retiring at the end of the week. We have Catherine Pooler, who will be replacing her. Catherine Pooler will also be the tax collector. Right now, the tax collector we use from another municipality. Also, we have a Jess. I always forget Jess.
McLean,
who is administrative staff down at the harbor.
Right.
And we have Kristen, who's downstairs in the police department.
Right.
And then we also have the clerk at the end of the hallway for the court system.
Janice
Swaggerty, correct.
She's up to the standard that Atlanta Towns has set for all your administrative staff and that all your administrative staff follows.
Yeah, and
from the top down.
I appreciate that sincerely. Yeah, we're fortunate. We have a great staff. We have a great team. They all get along. They all work hard. And I'm very proud of all of them. Thank you.
Moving on from that, congratulations. From that appreciation is the police department one more time. And I know I congratulate them or I thank them a lot, but I just happened to be present last week when they were called to the Sweeney's house. And they couldn't be more sensitive, they couldn't be more kind, they couldn't be more, they go above and beyond all the time. They're just magnificent. And I'm very proud of our police department.
Okay.
Aye.
And appreciative of them. Of the council hours still tomorrow night, I know the meeting was changed.
Yes, they are, and I will be the, I'll be the representative, the council representative.
Okay. Thank you, Kathy. I agree with Regina when she asked the question about being retired, Ms. Music, but if age is the thing that you need on the seniors committee, you can be retired from the military at 38. So there can, and teachers are retired by 40, so,
It was a committee decision.
Right, okay. I just wanted to make you aware of that because it was a question of
Sure, and
Why you had retired in there or somebody else. What age is retirement?
It was a request of the committee.
I think any age would be terrific on there because I think younger people also ought to know what senior citizens want or need to anything. Any age is pretty good for anything. For anything. I didn't hear anything about the fire auxiliary open house.
I announced it. That was the last thing when after Mr. Murphy spoke.
I'm sorry?
Mr. Murphy spoke. After Mr. Murphy finished, the mayor asked me to remind everybody.
Okay.
So I did do it. It was just at the very end.
Okay. I didn't really mean it that way. It's not on the borough page, though, I noticed. There's something about Homedale Library on the borough page. The ahnj.com. I didn't even read it because it said Homedale Library, so I didn't hear what it said.
I can look into that for you. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I'll look into that.
I didn't see the, what do you call it on there? The fire facility. Open house.
I'll look into that, and if it's not there, we'll add it. Good. Yeah, thank you.
Terrific. Thank you, Karen. Mr. Weinsdorf's theme, I know it's being studied by the, I presume it's being studied by the attorney, but 2 weeks ago when I asked her about it, that's the last thing when I asked her, she hadn't had time to look at it yet. I'm wondering, do the council members each have a copy of that?
I'm sorry, of which document?
I'm sorry?
Of which document?
The one that Mr. Weinsdorf gave during the meeting to Ms. Schaefer.
I don't know if the council received copies of that.
The council has not.
The council has not, obviously.
No, I believe
so you don't even know that this is a deed that's impacting the harbor and possibly impacting the business of the harbor.
We're expecting a report from the attorney, which will conclude the deed.
Well, that's what I was asking. I know you're expecting it because you haven't gotten it. So yeah, I hope you're expecting it because she's the only one that has that deed right now. But 2 weeks ago, she told me, at the last meeting, she told me she hadn't had a chance to look at it yet. And we're talking about impacting the harbor, and you don't have a copy of it, you haven't seen it. And do you have a report on it tonight, Ms. Grant?
I do not.
So now we're a month since the Salon Store paid it here, and nobody knows anything about it. And it impacts, it's a deed from 1940, which I know Ms. Schaefer said was an ancient piece of paper, but if it's a deed, I think it's kind of important to look at.
I think it's important that we have the research when we discuss it.
Yeah, I think your point's well made, and I think that the primary, the first step would be to have borough council review it, which she's doing, and then if she advises...
Without her even looking at it, to know what she's looking at?
Well, I think she's the person that should really look at it first. She's the legal counsel, and then we could share it with the borough council if she advises to, and kind of go from there, but she's the first step in the process.
But you don't even know what it is.
It's a 1940 deed.
You have a copy to look at it, but you have referred it to the attorney without knowing what you've referred to the attorney, is what I'm saying.
Right. So we're asking her to advise us of what it is. She's the attorney.
But you're not, you haven't even seen it.
So.
Okay. just as a matter of interest, I presume it's of interest, but Carewinna King James is no longer going to be Carewinna King James. As of tomorrow, it's Carewinna Middletown to go with the whole Carewinna system. They are having a
open house.
Formal ribbon cutting tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow to announce that they've changed it. The good news to keep things as historic as I can, as Regina was saying, and I agree with that certainly,
is that the dining room, at least, will be called the King James Dining Room.
Right.
So the name will still be up there anyway. As far as the ordinance that you adopted tonight, could you set a date at which you're going to look at the amendments so that you know whether you're going to put the amendments in or not? It seems that there were, I'm not familiar with that ordinance and I didn't even read it to tell you the truth, but it seems that there were a lot of questions on it, and I know that you adopted it unanimously, but I would be concerned that there were so many questions on it, both from the public and from the council. I would think that you would look at it again and please speak on it. Dr. Nicaro has some terrific points, I think. And I would hope that you would look at it possibly before the next meeting and see if you want to put the amendments on it by the next meeting. That seems like that's a serious thing to me. I know one of the questions was on fingerprinting. I can't always hear you. One of the questions was on fingerprinting, and I know, thank you very much, Mr. Vergina, as a mediator for Superior Court, I have to get fingerprinted every 3 years. I don't know why, because my fingerprints aren't going to change, as far as I know, but they require, so I don't know what the requirements are, Mr. Dougherty, as to how well done the test will be done. But thank you very kindly for mentioning that I've been cited by the Superior Court there. I do appreciate that. You're welcome. Wasn't able to go to the meeting because it was a night meeting, so I couldn't even manage to get it myself. So I enjoyed hearing it here. Thank you. And at one point, you all brought up so many questions for me tonight. I had no intention of them, but at some point in the past, somebody on council, and I'm not sure who did tell me, somebody sitting on the dais did tell me that no, there was no CO at for CTO. So if there is one now, that it's something new, because at the time that I asked, there was no CO issue.
Was that during construction? That doesn't make sense.
I'd have to look into it. I don't have that document for me.
And as far as the regionalization question goes, has anybody, can you tell me that much at the meeting? Did you say that you all have said you all get together to set a date for the next meeting within a certain frame? Are you all professionals at that meeting? All most professionals have their calendars on their phones. I can't understand why you couldn't set a date for another meeting. And I agree with the uneasiness of Tracy, that your meeting, it sounds positive, and I've heard from other people that yes, it does sound very positive.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that there was a tri-board of education meeting afterwards, last night I think it was, and that makes me a little scared, because I don't know whether you're planning on anything, but if you're I can't understand why this isn't important enough for everybody to say before they leave the meeting, like this other gentleman said, where are we going to meet next, and then do your schedules. But if you had that meeting and you still don't know when you're going to have the next meeting, there's something radically wrong. There's something that people just aren't interested enough in. There's some reason, I can't understand how can we get that meeting.
I think the assumption that we did
in January,
I'm I can tell you this. There's a lot of assumptions being made. We can't tell you what was said in that meeting, but there's a lot of assumptions being made by the public tonight that we can't respond to. So these issues may or may not exist.
But you're having another meeting.
I didn't say that.
Somebody said that tonight.
We are going to, absolutely, the mayor and council are going to have another meeting at some point. And
not the mayor and council. This committee that met the other night is going to have another meeting.
We will be.
The
whole thing is the best way that I can tell the public is when I was on Board of Ed, during negotiations, teacher negotiations. We sat for many days, even like months at a time. We weren't allowed to say anything. You're not allowed to say anything. And we don't, and we can't really tell you, and it's just like now, we can't really tell you anything because we are locked into confidentiality. So we would really enjoy telling you, but we can't. It's not as if it's not important to us.
One date that is out there is that Oceanport and Shore have said to the commissioner of the DOE that they will be filing their legal action against Seabright by May 5th.
So
that doesn't affect this.
It doesn't affect this, but I'm just saying there is a date. There is a, well, there's a big connection. It's regionalization, so they're filing against Shore and Shore and Ocean are filing against Seabright by May 5th, which is good for the public to know.
Earlier in the meeting, somebody said that there is, and I think it was just a preparation to get the industry fully on this, but I'm not positive of that, and I do have to listen to the tunes to the recording to know everything that goes on. But I think you said that there was going to be another meeting of the committee that met on that Friday. And all I wanted to bring up is at that meeting this last Friday, by this time I would have hoped that everybody could have looked at their schedules and have set a meeting for this week or put something aside so that it could be.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Name. I don't see any more. Okay. Go on. Come up.
Harold Smith, 31 Cynthia Hall Road, Red Bank, Tamara Togo, and Sissy Spokes. I know we can't talk about the litigation of the Togo book, but we can certainly talk about the lease. The lease, I have asked and asked and asked to be released. Nobody, you know, it's just not happening. You go to Section 5 of the lease, it says clearly that repairs that are the harbor's responsibility are not repaired promptly with a minimum of 30 days, which has been 2.5 years, okay? Then you guys are in the fault of my lease. There's been no offer of any kind of compensation, no offer of any release from it, and it's just keep being patient. My patients are gone. I've come to several council people. I'm told that the harbor operates independently, but there was discussion tonight about a deed that I know nothing about, but we're going to look into that. But other harbor business has nothing to do with council. I wholeheartedly disagree with that, because when my lease is approved, it has to come to you guys to approve it. But you just, everybody say, oh, the harbor's going to take care of it, and I'm going to be perfectly honest, I do not have any confidence in the harbor commission. I'm sorry, and I know it doesn't make people feel good going into Sissy's place. We negotiated in November to renew that lease. I finally got the papers 2.5 weeks ago. But in getting those papers, I now find out that the on-deck deck is condemned. I've asked the Harbor Commission, what are you doing to make sure that doesn't interfere with my building, my business? Oh, we don't know. We're waiting for that tenant to tell us. This has been going on for years. Everything down there takes forever. Forever. And it just doesn't happen. So now, every lease that has been down there, I beg you guys to review them. Shore Casino, Topo, Sissons Place, On the Deck. Last year, when we were trying to negotiate the Topo building, I was 2.5 months in the building with no lease. Sissons Place expires at the end of the month. We have no lease there. I've asked today, while we're waiting for the tenant to say how he's going to fix the deck, which is really not my problem. I rent from the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
You're my landlord. You people are my landlord. What he does has nothing to do with me. But, you know, everything down there is just... I implore you guys to look at it. I've asked and nothing happens. I don't know where else to go. And I know you feel like I'm not being patient. This has been going on since Sandy. It's a disgrace. It's truly a disgrace. When I mentioned to someone that, you know, when they tear that deck off, I'm on the deck. I have refrigerators under there. I have employees that are in and out of that back door 150 times a day. Oh, we didn't know your refrigerators sit down there. These are the people you have in charge. And then that's who I'm supposed to negotiate with. But when you get this deed, now all of a sudden it's something for the council to look at. I don't understand the difference. I'm confused.
Mm-hmm.
And how, I've spoken to the new attorney, we were there, Lord, and told him about this, and he said, I'm going to get back to you. No one gets back to you. I make phone calls today. I got people now telling me. I just talked to someone today, and I was told, well, we're having a hard time finding an architect. Then when I got here, let me finish.
Sorry, I'm just...
Okay, let me finish. Okay, then when I got here, I got to, oh, we got one architect. We're hoping to have another one soon. Come on. I mean, stop. Fix the building. And I appreciate that you guys have painted the senior building. I'm not taking nothing away from that. But you've done nothing in this building. Nothing. You send the guy over to fix the door. Still doesn't work. You can go down there right now. The door doesn't work. You can go down. I can show you holes in the walls that they have put placards over to cover the holes. Come on. Nothing. The only thing that was done was the gas valves were changed. I'll give you that. And I'm told I'm unreasonable and it's not right.
You're not told that you're unreasonable by me.
I was told today. I was
by me. You were not told that by me. So I.
Okay, but you were telling me.
What I'm asking you to do, Mr. Smith, is from now on, please include Mr. Murphy and I on any communications about this, because it was, I had better information than what you got today. If someone told you that we didn't have,
and then
we're having a hard time.
So you got to talk to these people. When they do this,
I'm saying you can copy Mr. Murphy and me on every one of those communications. It's not a violation.
I do stuff on the telephone. That's how I do. I did call you today.
I didn't get a call from you today. I'm sorry. Or I don't have a message if you did.
I did leave a message.
Okay.
And I did speak to Mr. Ferrangini today. I did leave a message on the phone.
Mr. Smith, when did you speak with the attorney that you were waiting for?
Well, first of all, I called the attorney 3 times and he never returned my call. I called him an hour before I walked out of my office and he was there doing a site survey. And he says, oh, I owe you a telephone call. But when I called his office, Mr. Smith, he can't talk to you right now. He's on a conference call. Obviously, he was driving here. And I don't think that he's a bad attorney. I'm not saying that at all. But now the excuse is we just got this bulldog of an attorney and he's going to make things happen. But come on, guys. I mean, come on.
I had a mistake.
How do you not tell the public that a building that's owned by the town has part of it condemned? How do we not tell the public that?
It's a good enough.
It is.
The deck, there's been instructions to the tenant upstairs to put in corrective actions to repair the deck. The business has not been declared to shut down.
No,
that I'm aware of.
I never said that. What I'm saying is the engineer's report, which is not showing a request. Okay, I'm going to try to hand you documents. You won't see it. Okay, got thrown open request. says that they do not recommend the deck being used. The Harbor Commission, I've been told, has told the tenant, not me, the other tenant, that they are not allowed to use that deck. Is that not true?
So I don't know if it would be fair to that tenant to talk about their business. Okay. But I do think you have a valid point with if it affects your business.
And it so does. And it does. And no one can give me an answer. We're going to wait for them. Now, this deck has been having problems documented back until 2019, 4 years. And nobody's done anything. This one says they talked to him, but he didn't talk. They didn't get back. What I'm telling you is, the harbor is mismanaged, and nobody knows what's going on, and everything takes way, way, way too long.
And so what I would say is I would encourage the two representatives that are here on council that are on the Harbor Commission to take that information back to the Harbor Commission meeting,
which
we have on Tuesday, and you're obviously welcome to attend. I think you attend most of them, and we discuss this again, and also have the attorney provide an update regarding not just the towboat building, but whatever he can disclose pertaining to the deck and how it may or may not affect your business.
All I'm asking for is my landlord to tell me what precautions they're taking, because my lease at 60 space says that I deserve quiet enjoyment. That means I can use and continue to use. And what you guys will then tell me is, oh, just be patient, just be patient. Well, you know, we got to get this done. It takes time, you know. But meanwhile, my business is suffering. I mean, they do. They do, man. And I have nothing to do with all these other people talking about it. I'm talking about me because I am the person with those businesses. And I feel I have been more than supportive of this town and more than patient with it. But they're done. They're done. They're completely done. I told everybody on this, well, weren't all here, told the council, and I told the Harbor Commission before they paid Capital Construction, don't pay that bill. Came in 2 weeks later, they paid the bill. Who signed off and said it was okay? Somebody had to say it's okay to give them that $68,000, right? But nobody knows. But we do know that nothing's done about it. Okay. That's enough, I guess.
Thank you. Chris, did you have a question?
Chris, logistics, we want to start with that name. Mr. Ferdinand, if you could just repeat possibly the bullet point of the update you said on regionalization, I would really appreciate it.
Well, it's on record.
Okay, thank you. So I'll go back and listen to it. It appears we didn't hear the same thing, but that's your response. So I will just say I'm frustrated by this entire process more than anything. It was a very defensive posture from the council, right? And I don't know that you or everyone is listening, and it's becoming increasingly frustrating when you're constantly challenged, and it's just a very defensive posture, not by everyone, but many people up here, and that's the tone it comes across, and it's not healthy. And I would say personally, my confidence in getting something done by the day gets worse. And I said it once before, but time kills deals.
Mm-hmm.
And every day this goes by, it's less likely for the government, and that's just a fact. And it just feels that they, I'm repeating myself now, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's it. Mr. Barbato.
William Barbato, 22 Glory Road. I wasn't going to bring this up. I was trying to leave a message because I wanted to have a meeting with Mr. Ferragina and myself about the current issue. I feel this guy's name because this current issue has been going on for 20 years. It took me 27 meetings to get the road repaved at the beginning. I don't want to go through all the history. Some of you people know it. Finally, after two decades, there was one curb that they put in there. It was supposed to extend it. Now, from what I understand, there's an ordinance about curbs
that to try to keep the continuity of peanut stone, concrete, well, what about the asphalt burn-up? Because we have, it's not supposed to be, there is an ordinance written somewhere where it's supposed to have continuity. So we have concrete, burn-up, and peanut stone, which doesn't look good. They only did half, and I spoke to Mr. Cullis, right, we spoke about it. All I'm saying is, we were supposed to, in 2019, when they did the road again, there was never a curb to begin with on half the road, okay? They only put concrete from the drain to my front door, front entrance. After that, they left nothing. The road was sinking. Finally, after about 2 years, 3 years, they finally put a berm there to hold it, but it's still sinking. They need to put a concrete curb to there to support the road. And from 2019, when they redid after 17 meetings of coming here saying how bad
Mr. Barbato
was, okay, they finally said, you're going to be on a curb list, okay? This is what Adam Eubanks said. Oh, they're going to be doing curbs after 2019. There's a curb list. Okay, Adam, can you put me on that curb list? Sure. Oh, 2023. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Fisher.
First question I asked last meeting about the permits for the McConnell track. Have we gotten any word on when they're going to start construction? I know they're almost done with the demolition of the original building, and I suppose they'll move down to the bottom of the hill and remove the wall, but when is actual residential or infrastructure construction going to start?
A date hasn't been provided.
No date yet. Also at that meeting I brought up $320,000 in open space funds that were borrowed for the Tobo building back in 2019. Back then Mr. Eubanks said that when they were talking about Mother Teresa that they were going to try to get some funds from the county and the borough were trying to get the funds from there. He said there was $125,000 in the open space account that we're waiting on the additional $320,000 due from FEMA. That was back in 2019. Councilwoman last meeting said that the amount of funds in the open space fund right now doesn't reflect that $320,000 ever got collected or recovered
from FEMA.
So,
yeah, so I inquired through HFA, who keeps, you know, most of that data. Obviously, it's before my time. They came back that they don't have any notations or data reflecting that 320K.
Let's talk the withdrawal.
The withdrawal of 320K, exactly.
So they're still investigating.
Okay. Thank you. Keep asking. What happens if an elected official doesn't turn in their financial disclosure?
The money. We get fined.
Yeah, they
fined.
Personally. I don't know.
I don't know.
We've never had to find.
I could look into that for you.
Yeah, I don't know how much the clerk gets fined if the request doesn't get answered. But
yeah, I mean, I could look into that for you.
I'm just curious if there's any criminal things that go on. That would be terrible. The Affordable Housing Trust Fund in the borough. How much is in it, and what exactly is that used for? I know that construction projects and renovations, they collect funds. We never really hear any money. What amount of?
It's listed in the audit. Money? It's listed in the audit. I can look into that and get back to you on it.
The
fund balance.
2022?
Yep.
Okay. Fee schedule progress. I know we've been talking about this for many months. I know The planning board reviewed it. Mm-hmm. I know kind of the parking committee offered advice on, you know, graduated fee increases. Is there any progress?
Yeah, there is. I'm glad you brought that up. So we put a request out to all the departments to supply us with their information and feedback relative to each department's fees. And we're at the very tail end of that. We're hoping within the next two meetings to introduce that, all in one lump, all of them together. Okay. So we're very optimistic that we're at the tail end of that process.
Okay, so next question. I know the chief collects, for the parking fee. The chief collects the parking fee money. Obviously, in the future, that fee is going to increase. The chief has some costs involved with that program. But where will the balance of that money go once the chief pays his bills? Will it just go into the general fund, or will it go into the parking fund?
So I'll inquire with HFA, but I believe it goes into the general fund.
Wouldn't we want that to go into the parking fund, since right now I think it's a zero balance?
Yeah, I mean, there's different accounting methods. I mean, it can go into the general fund and then reallocate it in a budget to the parking fund. But I'll let HFA advise as to what it current how it's currently set up to confirm and inquire if it's beneficial to set it up the way that you're inquiring about, you know, to have it direct go directly into the parking fund.
Okay. Since the budget's now approved, my annual question has the harbor contribution
introduced, not approved.
Okay, I'm sorry, introduced, but the paperwork is all in place. Has the contribution from the harbor authority to the borough general fund increased for 2022? Last year it was $1,000,001. Have we increased that amount to something higher for 2023 to help keep taxes down?
So, I don't know the actual answer to that. I'm going to have to ask HFA.
We do know the answer to that.
Go ahead.
The answer to that is it's currently as it's budgeted, is the same, but that's part of the discussion over the next few weeks.
Okay, so it should be brought back up at the public hearing?
It will be definitely discussed at the public hearing.
Yes, I agree.
And in consultation with the Harbor Commission, because they have, with inflation and other issues, they're could be reasons that we need to be more conservative this year, but the intention is to have the conversation.
But I also heard that we're a lot of the debt is falling off, so mm-hmm. I'm sure some of that is at the heart. Just my opinion. The open space fund, how much is in that? And what is that? I know what it's used for, but I know...
I'd have to consult the audit to tell you the exact number.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm going to revisit something that I brought up in February, and I know Mr. Ferragina checked into it. Jersey natural gas. This one really bothers me because South Avenue Park needed to be basically demolished to do the soil remediation. Okay, the tars that were in the soil of the pre-cut. So there was a value of that park when it was estimated at $100,000 in 2018. New Jersey Natural Gas estimated the cost of that park was $100,000. That's what they committed to give the borough to put a park back in 2018. All right, well, since 2018, we're about 20% inflation rate, and we still don't have a park. Now, I know there's plans in the works. Mr. Rohmeyer's probably working on a renovation of what was proposed to something lesser, but from a taxpayer's viewpoint, we're going to have to pay more to put back a park that was perfectly fine the way it was and worth $100,000 to get what we had 5 years ago. To me, that makes absolutely no sense. And when I say we have to pay the 20% difference, it could be in a borough fee or taxes by the borough. It could be grants gotten from the county or the state. It's still all our money. It just doesn't seem fair that New Jersey Natural Gas is not covering 100% replacement cost of that park. I don't care how much it costs. There was a park there. It's gone. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been replaced yet. And they refused to go above the $100,000 committed in 2018. That makes absolutely no sense to me. And here, Mr. Rohmeyer struggles to build something with $100,000 that's nowhere near what was there. as far as I know. So is there any way we could revisit that? One of our attorneys in the borough could go back to New Jersey Natural Gas and say, this makes no sense.
And so, I appreciate the comments. As you know, I did reach out officially to New Jersey Natural Gas with their request, and they declined the request. They feel that they've fulfilled their commitment to the agreement.
They feel that way, but I'm a taxpayer, and so is everybody here, and we don't like the number. So how about we revisit it?
If the governing body would like, I can ask the borough attorney to send an official legal communication requesting funds, as I did prior, and see what the response is.
Sure.
I think that's
appropriate. Yeah, please.
It's a downside.
Last question. Any update on Mother Teresa? I have heard one word about Mother Teresa tonight.
No update to report this evening.
Nothing to report. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Fisher, one thought just occurred to me in regard to the fee schedule.
Yeah.
May 11th, I believe, was the correspondence I got from Ms. Clark that we'll be putting the film permit fee back onto the agenda for reintroduction. So if anybody
has... That's part of it, right? That's part of the complete fee schedule?
This is, you know, the difference is we've never had any sort of policy. So this would institute a policy of how people go about what the process is. I should say, for getting a film permit, what they would have to pay for that. So if anybody on the dais has any sort of tweaks, inclusions, let me know.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay, I see no hands. So, one hand?
We have one on Zoom.
Oh, okay.
Let's bring over James Smith.
Yeah, Mayor Gluckstein, I'd like to point out that it may be because...
Can I have your address, please?
Oh, that's interesting. My name is James Smith. My address is 460 East Holland Avenue, Holly Springs, Mississippi. And that's exactly what's been talked about. Whether or not the audio is not that great on your system, but I'll listen to the tape, the recording, but it seemed like at least four people didn't have to provide their names before they spoke on the public porch. That's just a side note. Interesting that recollections are faulty. Thank God for the recordings. So, to use your adage or idiom, I'd like to continue to beat the dead horse that you killed. The facts of the matter, and not recollections, is on 23 March 2023 at the Atlantic Commons Borough Council meeting at time mark 1:16:12, Mr. Weinsdorf offered the deed to the title lands from the municipal harbor to the borough attorney and the mayor. At time mark 1:16:13, the borough attorney says good. And at time mark 1:16:29, the mayor says thank you. At time mark 1:22:11, Muriel Smith offered a copy of the Beams letter to the borough council. When she received a response at 1:22:17, Muriel Smith says, would you like a copy now? At which Mayor Gluckstein responds, no. At time mark 1:22:40, the borough attorney Schaefer begins speaking. At 1:23:06, Muriel Smith offered Beams letter a second time, at which time both the mayor and the borough attorney at 1:23:08 and 0.09 responds, we'll take it later. So I just wanted to clarify this all year, Ms. Keelan's recollection. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
So...
Nobody else signs in.
Okay, thank you. Since I see no hands, I mean, the motion is... Yes.
I'll second.
And now I need a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
And now a motion and a second to adjourn.
Murphy, Murphy second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Yes, thank you.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, no.
Cool. Oh.